Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Thursday night at the Speakeasy Cafe. We would like to invite you to take the stage for the Sound of Ink open mic poetry night. Now, let's get started. I want your ink in our ears.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Speakeasy Cafe open mic poetry show. I am really excited to have you all here tonight. We have an incredible show planned. Today will be a three-hour show, so we're going to have a little bit of extended time on the open mic program. And then we have a special guest coming up. I'm going to bring on Michael. Michael, are you there, dear?
Oh, I am here.
I knew you would be. I always hold my breath, though, just in case. You are really excited, I know, because our special guest today, you have been just chomping at the bit about and looking forward to so much. And you're going to be doing the interview with her in the last 45-50 minutes of the show today. So I would like to give you a chance to introduce her and let us know what's going on.
All right. Well, her name is Daphne Gottlieb, and I was fortunate enough to see her feature here locally at the Cantab, and I was just completely blown away. I was very excited when she said she would come on with us and talk to us. And we've got four pieces of hers to play. They're all from her latest book, which is called Kissing Dead Girls, which is the short version of what the book's about. It's all pieces, prose and poetry about her in a relationship with dead girls, celebrity figures and whatnot. And it's really, it's amazing.
I read
the whole book. Not like corpses. Not like,
Okay, good. I was scared.
No. Not like that. But, there's a piece that we don't actually have a recording of. Her and, a conversation with, Marilyn Monroe. But, they're dating and they're hanging out one night, and it's a conversation, and it's really cool. But this she's very much a pushing the envelope for as far as what we think of certain things and with society and sexuality and all kinds of things. And I'm really excited because I'm telling you, reading this book, I was just absolutely blown away. So yeah.
I know you've been talking about her for months, and I know that you're really excited. Let me ask you this. Do you have a piece of hers you'd like to start the show off with to kind of give us a teaser taste about what we've got to look forward to?
I do indeed. I'm going to go with the piece called Mouth to Mouth, which is, we'll let you guys hear it. This is Mouth to Mouth by Daphne Gottlieb.
Mouth to mouth. No one would believe it, that a kiss could bring you back to life. Dead for so long, still for how long? But that kiss started you breathing again. Because of her kiss, your lungs ached for the first time in how long? Filling with air where there'd only been dust, those lips touched yours, and then yours were moving. Moving, not in sleep or in resistance, but in pleasure. And your mouth moved, and her mouth moved, and so much, it must be the kiss. What was your body before this? Where were you before? Your backbone, a colony of electric eels, the stars now hidden inside your hands, your head swarmed with fireflies and all the world you've been missing. Trees, economic upswings and downturns, wars, the dog's death last fall, stores in your neighborhood filled and emptied, and all this information last Christmas, tsunami, all this time, how many species extinct, that mouth, how many dead languages still caught between your teeth and now silent, speaking the future in tongues, this kiss, you are awake and it's been so long, the world is so loud, that tongue is licking death out of your mouth, sucking the poison out of your bite, your body is screaming and you're nothing but kiss anymore, just kiss, just kiss, and as those lips flow away from you, It's impossible to know if all this is because of the kiss or because of her, because of him, the kisser or the kiss. You're awake. You are just meat. You want to be cut up, packaged, and sold and consumed, ground between molars, that nourishing and wrecked all at once, and that mouth is pulling away. That mouth is pulling away, and you see her face, you see his face looking at yours. Your mouth is a monster, is making history, is making a word. Your mouth is your arms pulling that body close to you again, forming the O, the pucker, the nothing except more.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
You closed the show last week with a piece of hers that was incredible as well. She actually called in and we got to visit with her for a few minutes.
Oh, no, that wasn't her. That was the caller was...
Am I confused?
Yeah, you're confused. The caller was our next guest, next month, which you knew at the time.
So
it's okay.
I'm confused a lot. It's okay. Don't try this at home, you guys. Okay. Well, I'm excited for when she comes on, but right now we've got some poets on hold. I know that you've got a new piece to read, so if we get a break in the callers a little bit later, I'd like to have you share that with us and maybe get a chance to play a couple more files. We have a lot of fun things coming up. We'll announce later as far as things we're going to be doing here on the show. I'm working with Ann over at Poetry Magazine to put some stuff together for National Poetry Month in April. And she's actually giving us some free issues of the magazine and things like that to use on the show. If you guys would like to check out their site, it's www.poetryfoundation.org. And one of the things that I'm really going to be pushing for with you poets is to get your poetry out of the journals. You know, I've already pushed you to get them out of the journals and the drawers and the notebooks and to give them a voice and to call in and read and share your words with the world. But now I'm going to be working with you and really pushing you to do something with your writing. You know, a lot of people are very active on MySpace with their writing and such, but a publisher is not going to come banging on your MySpace door and saying, oh my God, you are so amazing, please let me publish you. And I know a lot of you take your writing very seriously, but don't know where to start on getting yourself out there or working on getting you published or ways to make submissions and things like that. And so we have guests coming up and a lot of things that we're going to be working on to help you do that, to, you know, kind of be a catalyst to getting your writing career going and actually getting it out there in the world in print. So I'm real excited about that too. But without taking up any more time, Michael, I would absolutely love to hear some poetry.
Okay. I've got to switch you switchboard, so I'm going to give it a shot. 347, you're on the air.
Hello, people.
Hello.
Well, hello.
I'm back. I've been busy since school started, so... Sorry.
I know, it's been a while since we've talked to you.
Yeah, school started last week, and I have classes Monday through Thursday, so I've been getting home a little bit tired, but I decided to call in early and at least make up for lost time.
And just so everybody knows, this is the one and only Miss Ness.
Yes, it is I.
All right, sweetheart. Well, we have been without your poetry too long, so you need to bless us before we start like going into shakes and stuff.
Yeah. All right, so I hope you guys enjoyed this poem. It was actually written from a challenge that one of my best friends gave me one day that I was going through writer's block. So this piece is called... Don't worry, I actually wrote the piece. This piece is called Click Twice, and you'll actually see a little reference to something as I read it. Hope you enjoy. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like the one where my mind goes to when everything is a blur, the one where my words go to when I try to open my mouth and all that you hear are slurs, condensed thoughts of freedom. Distant cries. I swear I see the bright light, but all I can do is stop in my path and just sigh, just bow my head down and stare at the sequin red shoes. Hope that if I do close my eyes this one special time and click my heels twice, that I'll escape from this momentarily what seems to me to be a blueprint sketch life of what my world should not be. I want to be able to swirl around in my pretty blue dress and click twice, taking some deep breaths to then close my eyes and go to that place where my all goes, away from death, away from false hope, and close to where I want to be, next to success and having my own lovely family, dreaming sweet dreams and making them into soulful realities. Beautiful red heels, can you this one time just work for me? Let me try again. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. I'm finally home, and that's that piece.
Oh, I have missed you, dear girl.
I miss you guys, too.
That was beautiful. You need to tell everybody, Missy May, how to come visit with you, more of your poetry, check out your gorgeous drill.
You guys can catch me at myspace.com/poeticmindplay, and if you're in the whole Twitter scene, you can catch me at twitter.com/missness.
Make sure you go over, read her stuff, leave her a comment, let her know you were there, and you'll be real excited. She's a great writer.
Thank you.
And also a wonderful member of the Speakeasy staff.
Oh, I'm blushing so much right now, but thank you, thank you.
If you guys need to have any graphic work done, be sure to let her know, because she is amazing at graphic arts and can make up banners and all kinds of fun stuff, so make sure you check her out for that as well.
And, I'd like to make a quick announcement. I opened up my own online store with my graphics on T-shirts and whatnot, finally. So if you guys want to check it out, go to imsoulfly.redshirt.com.
That is awesome.
Cool.
Yes, I'm very excited about that. And I will be making some special gear for Angel's show. So that's in the works.
Oh, now you know what I'm going to say next, right?
Yes, I'm going to make some shirts for Speakeasy Cafe and some fan shirts.
Yay!
For all you cute lovers out
there.
I love
you. That's what I was going to say. There has to be a Cupid T-shirt.
And a Nyla T-shirt as well.
Oh, no, not a Nyla T-shirt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, a Speakeasy T-shirt and a Cupid T-shirt would be awesome.
All right,
Nessie, we will see you in the chat room, and
okay.
We will get to the next poet so you can check them out.
No problem, my dear.
Thank you, baby.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, cute T-shirts. How can you not love that?
Awesome.
Oh, that's too cool.
Right.
Okay, who do we have next at the mic?
Well, I know who it is, but I'm not going to say his name. So he says it. 219, you're on the air.
Okay, I want a Naughty Poet T-shirt. Yeah, Miss Nash, you hear me? Oh, man, I want to see that. I know that's going to be awesome. How you guys doing tonight?
Oh, hello, Anointed Poet.
Oh, man. I am feeling good, especially since I know I'm going to get an Anointed Poet T-shirt.
You know, the power of the spoken word.
Hey, I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to send Ms. Nash, I'm sending you a message, so just know that it's coming.
So what is new in your life?
Oh, we got some really, really awesome events coming up for the youth this weekend, you know, starting tomorrow. I can tell you about them after I do the poem, if you want, or if you want me to do it now, I can, whichever one you would like.
Oh, I always want you to do poems.
Okay. All right, well, I'll do the poem first. I'm gonna do one of my favorite poems. It's called Victory, and it's a poem about healing. I thank you, Lord, for the day you sent your son, for you knew he was the only one who would heal our sickness, cast out demons who tried to plague our minds with all sorts of lies, deceptions, and wickedness. You see, the enemy would have us believe that because we sometimes have symptoms that there is no way to reprieve, there is no way to conceive, there is a God that can relieve the temporary pain we feel. But the devil is a liar because in spite of what we feel, we know that Jesus has the power to heal. And he has given that power to us in his word. So since we know this, we begin to look at our situations and we begin to speak to our first thought impartations and we say, go away, Satan, because I got the revelation that you shall no longer cause me to receive sensations as sickness, because in spite of the facts presented to me, I know the truth that was shown to me by God in his word that says, by his stripes I was healed. And I begin to confess these words over my body daily to uncover the plans of the wicked one that need to be revealed, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The Holy Spirit firing me begins searing the works of the devil, and he becomes who he really is, just a mere inconvenience compared to me. A mere mouse in the shadow of God's divinity. A crack in the sidewalk stands where there used to be a hurdle. Low blood pressure where my blood used to curdle. And no longer will you hide in my body in a stronghold where you thought you could remain concealed. You see, nevermore, devil, will you invade my thoughts and cause me to believe anything other than I ought. Because the effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. So now, with the Holy Spirit power that is given me, I can touch any part of me and say, go, Satan, depart from my body and never return. And as the devil leaves me, I begin to learn that I can speak to anything in my body. My faith grows stronger as I say, by his stripes I was healed every day. I begin to get excited as I realize that I can speak to anything in my body. I begin to boldly call those things that be not as though they were. Go, migraine headaches. Go, high blood pressure. Go, fever and cancer and pain of every measure. Go, addictions and cravings. Go, all you healing deceivers. Go, dependence on pills, potions, and pain relievers. You see, I know I was healed over 2,000 years ago, and I speak. Not what I see, but what I know to be true, because what I see can make me weak. What I see can cause my beliefs to come to a peak, and I won't be effective in my healing confession, so I become blind so that I can see only those things that God wants me to see. And I celebrate and praise God every day as I shout with glee, thank you, Father God, for the victory. I said peace.
You blow me away every time you read.
Oh, I'm tired.
That was amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, wow. You're welcome. Yeah, I know that you have some really exciting, you know, you just take my breath away. I know that you have some really exciting things coming up this year, things that you're working on and excited about. You want to quickly tell us what's going on there and give us some websites?
Yes, just really quick. Tomorrow night is going to be this weekend actually is going to be a busy weekend. Tomorrow night at the West Englewood United Methodist Church, we're going to be at the God Squad Youth Culture event. It's an event for the youth. Really looking forward to them, these youth going out and just worshiping God and, you know, just being excited about it. These are 15 to 21-year-olds. So we're going to be doing that tomorrow night. That starts at 7 o'clock in Chicago. And then later on that night, we're going to be at the Praise Cafe, which is actually the Gospel Wendy's in Calumet City, Illinois, starting at 10 o'clock until 1 in the morning. Saturday we're going to be at the, the Dixmore Community Center doing the Stir Up the Gift Benefit Concert. It's to benefit the Resurrection House, which is a women's shelter to help protect women who have been abused or in, you know, abusive relationships or marriages and their children. So what we're asking is there's no fee to get in. All you got to do is come and bring some women's clothing with you, bring some toiletries or non-perishable food items. That starts at 2 p.m. at Dixmore Community Church in Dixmore, Illinois on Saturday. So those are the things that's coming up just right now. And there's more down the line, but I'm going to keep it short here.
Well, you know, you'll be back
when you...
you can talk about that then, too.
What'd you say, Q?
I was saying you'll be back again next week anyway, right?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I'll talk about it then, the other things coming up.
Cool.
we have our ongoing anointed poet saga going.
Saga.
We need to have our weekly updates. Okay. While we've still got you on the air, do you want to leave another hint to Ms. Ness before you take off?
Ms. Ness, I want an anointed poet T-shirt. I need something to perform in. I know it's gonna be awesome if she puts it together. So, you know, I'm gonna send you a message. I'm letting you know. Watch your box. I'm not at home now, but I will be. So I'll send you a message. You can tell me more about.
Oh, you will have. Go ahead.
No, I'm done.
Okay, I was just going to say, you are really going to be amazed at the work that girl can do. She really, really is very talented. So, all right, we'll be watching for Anointed Poet T-shirts and everything else that you have amazing that's coming up. Make sure you guys go check out his book, Your Life Will Be Better Because of It. Robert, we love you, and we will see you next week.
Oh, thank you, and you can get all this information. I'm sorry, I didn't give my website. www.robertsalesonline.com. Go there. You can click the My Links page. That'll take you to my MySpace, Shout Life, and some of the other pages that we have up. We're also on Twitter, Anointed Poet.
Oh, sweet.
The whole Twitter thing, I'm just now getting used to it.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Really? I'm debating now. I'm to the point now where I'm actually honestly debating if I want to do it. I never even considered it before.
Well, you should. It's major two-line promotions. You can promote all day long on that thing. Very nice.
I know. Now I am pouring coffee. Now I am writing a poem. Now I'm shutting the bathroom door. Don't look.
That's the other side of it.
Yeah. Like, how much of my life I really want people to know.
Yes, I know. I agree. Anyway,
all right, Robert, dear. We will see you next. What's that?
I was just saying, let's get to some more poets.
We're doing that right now, and we will see you next week, dear.
Okay. You guys have a blessed evening.
You too, man.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Dang, is there ever stopping my mouth, ever? You know, I honestly am beginning to think that duct tape was, or my mouth was the reason that duct tape was invented. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. We need another poet. Come on down.
All righty. 732, you're on.
Yeah.
732, cool.
Yes. Hey.
Good.
Hey, you.
Hey, hey. Oh, hey, freaks. Hey, word people. People who use words. Writers, good ones. Cool.
Hey, hyper poet. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, and I got whatever. I even signed in and everything.
Like, yeah, we know.
Oh, you're so good.
No, that's been easier. Okay, Twitter. I don't know, but I just punched in. You kind of like put in a question or something. It's okay. I haven't figured it out myself. You have to like join it or something. A bit much. Facebook is cool, though. That's
yeah, I'm liking Facebook.
Why, are you guys on Facebook?
I am, yeah.
Oh, I'll try to find you through the infinite matrix thing. Mars attacks. Anyhow,
I keep getting these emails. I get these emails that say so-and-so has sent a friend's request on Facebook, and I didn't even know I had a Facebook. If I have one, it's one that I started years ago and have never done anything with, so I think that I should probably go see who I am, see what I'm doing on there. I have so many sites that I take care of.
It's fairly mature. Facebook seems to have a...
Yeah. Well, it's, you know what? It seems like it's like more about communication as opposed to expression, which is what MySpace is all about.
Yeah, the backstories on Facebook are understood. Everyone's already been part of each other in a sense like that. And that was a little too philosophical. But yeah, anyhow, cool. Hey, your chapbook's good, man. That was great.
Oh,
and
cool. Thanks.
There was a little one. The little one freaked me too. That was neat. We're like looking at this going, we're like, wow, that's inspirational. Like, yeah, maybe we should like borrow his hook and should start making up little books or something. It's on the way.
Little pocket sized poets.
You know, you're definitely getting one. There's somewhere. I was like third. to have my book made, so. And,
okay.
You know, comes in.
Well, you know, I watch my mailbox every day, Gregory, and it hasn't got here yet.
This is true. And so I just went through hundreds of CDs just over the last 3 days. So that was a whole other thing. That's what happens. It comes in, like, massive amounts of, you know, product in production and then, you know, things. Well, it is the winter. Everybody's freaking weird anyhow, which is good. Winter's fucking cool. But, you know. So, yeah,
we're writers. Of course we're weird.
Yeah, we like weirdness. And but you definitely get one because, you know, that's only proper and we're old school and whatever. That rest is too.
Well, why don't you give us a taste of your poetry, Gregory?
Okay, it's definitely new, so I don't know. I'm pretty in tune what I read twice, so it's the same kind of vibes, though. So, 6, 7, 8. See oneself internalized upon the mind, and of these eyes learning to master the pure view of preconceived necessity, accepting initial images as self-evident remnants, and penetrate the night air, be witness to a seclusive detachment. And familiar examples of surulent companionship surfacing in a foreground, a visualized approach, most ready to be seen, close enough to actualize. Reflective aspects of beginnings have denied a closed outlook, and tears absolve this anonymous refulgence. Interrogated spectrums of decision, entropic conception, and individualized inclusiveness. And solitude in its natural state of neutrality, waiting. Beginnings bring beginnings upon the hands. And shadows in waiting surface upon the foreground and fade, making it difficult to close one's eyes. And the sunset dissipates, making it difficult to discriminate. And once again, solitude in its natural state of neutrality, as native lanterns on a night table, as aftersight and inner light, and distant stars internalized upon the heart. Ah, let heaven be seen. Let heaven be beholden. 6, 7, 8, out.
Neutrality. I can't even say that word right. Neutrality.
Yeah, I got a few slippies in there, but it's, you know, computer
That's awesome.
Lamp words. Yeah, I have to run around the corner and do an improv early set. We're going on second. I'll go up, I'll do about whatever. Basically, we shared a chorus, and he'll go into the chorus, and then he'll play out, and I'll do an improv, or maybe some Rolling Stones, Last Time We Say Goodbye, or some kind of coffee house, me and Mrs. Jones kind of vibe, and it's all about heartbreak and loss and that whole thing. So I'm about out of here, even though, you know, it starts late, but yeah, I'm doing a improv set, but then we're all in different states. We're only in the same place on the internet, which we rule and control. So there. How are you, Masters of the
Universe?
Tell
everyone how to find you.
No.
Tell everyone how to come find you.
Oh, don't. No. I'm on MySpace. Wednesday, I will have new blogs up. So this is the last what's up there. And the one song's still like a week or three new. So there's a couple new things up there. I'm on MySpace, Unemployed Parade, Gregory Schwartz Poetry Team will lead you to the site. It's pretty obvious to find it because I try to pretend I don't know how to find it and find it. So once you're in MySpace, Unemployed Parade, it'll come right up. It's right in there. You know,
so you pretended like you lost yourself and then had to find you.
Well, yeah, and could do that doing a peeky dance in the mirror, too.
That is so funny.
Yeah, we're having too much
fun. All right,
fun.
Everybody.
I'm taking up a ton of time. The new Bruce album is awesome. There's a bit of hidden concept to it. It's very joyful. You listen to the songs all together, and by the fifth song in, there's definitely something going on there, so we're really pleased with that, you know, because we're kind of jaded with that whole thing around here, but I'm a big backer of it. I think it's a great freaking album, and they put the songs together in some kind of order that really creates something unique. So we just love it when he does great stuff, and because, you know, he's right down the street and get the goof on him. So let's sit on that. Hey, I love you, and your pictures are cool. Every time you put one up on the MySpace, I have to change my top friends because I have to keep everything in, you know, a color pattern and like an art thing. So changing your picture, I have to change my site. You look beautiful. You're wonderful. Michael, F that tobacco stuff, man. You're clear of that. You'll be all right. You're with us. We heal. We're good. Anyhow, thanks for letting me call in and be silly and I'm out.
Oh, thank you so much, Gregory. We'll see you next week.
If you live in another state, I'd be knocking outside your window holding up a boom box with Planes and Peter Gabriel. some teeny bopper. Okay, I'll see you Breakfast Club, kids.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Oh,
Michael, Gregory's going to be hanging outside your window.
I think he meant that one for you.
I don't think so. I think that was definitely for you. I didn't send him a chat book. Okay, who do we have next?
All right, next we have 206. You're on the air.
Hey, guys, how are you? It's JD.
Doing great.
Well, hello.
Hey,
how are you?
Oh, I'm good. I mean, I've had a better couple weeks. I think Michael kind of knows about that, but it's okay. It's been good. Recuperating my my spirit, so it's good. My grandmother passed away about a little over a week ago, so that was I had to be the speaker at the funeral. So I'm done with that. Good energy, all the love to her. And in fact, I wanted to actually read a piece I wrote when I got home from that. Which is actually positive, and then end with one other piece. But such beauty and love and all sorts of wonderful energy towards everyone that's participating and throwing the good vibes to everyone. I like your guys' site. But anyway.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Let me get into this real quick. Crossroads in the Stream of Shadows. I sit here at the precipice. The crossroads, the meandering of rivers collecting into tears I place in soft, gentle moments, my memory of love in being held, in whispers to ears of compassion and fierce pride, in journeys to faraway places, to drifting dreams now long forgotten, to sifting sands, holding castles that should have crumbled a destiny ago. We have but fleeting pinches of God's dust in which to choose a path, in which to choose a breath, in which to rally our spirits to. It is in these blinks, in these faraway yet immediate folds of ethereal nothingness in which to create, to merge, to facilitate a reckoning between our past and today. My emotions are a churning maelstrom of identity and sorrow and love and joy and meaning and dreaming and weaving and fate. My eyes are brewing storm, falling sunlight in dappled meadows, forest echoes. I drift and sleep and awake to immerse in the chapels of old and worn writings. I pray that I may walk, that shadows may hide but never blind to that which I must find, forgiveness, love, forgetfulness, wispy clouds holding secrets and contentment, laughter and fulfillment, and as with these accoutrements I pick up the prayers I adorn my flesh with, travel beyond the stars I bind my spirit with and move past the sins I have chained myself with. Freedom, a gift given only to those who choose to let go. My wings are unfurled and lifted to grace. I have tasted the transcendence of my pain and sorrow and regret and shed myself of its unruly weight. My shadow is a stream at the tumultuous crossroads, and I have broken the cage. Love is the path I choose to take.
That was absolutely the perfect ending line to that piece.
Yeah.
Endings are hard to do. Endings are really hard to figure out how to close a piece and have it say what you want it to say and do what you want it to do. And that was awesome.
I appreciate it. That's beautiful of you to say. Thank you. I had one more piece, and then I want to take up too much time so other people can throw their voice out. This is called There's Skeletons in My Closet and Fruit on My Lips. Salty memories carve scars down cheeks, caressing softly, gently, lovingly. Eyes roping past broken concrete, buildings condemned and crumbling, flashbacks in past supplication. And as I walk these streets in hard-earned starvation, thoughts flit across lids closed in half-remembrance, and the story forms. This is how it goes. And as I turn the corner of dream salutations, I see the old man I always see. Ragstaff skeletal frame, eyes glazed and powerful, gray strings of wise hair, his hand cleaving air, beckoning, urging to follow. And I do follow like I always follow, night in and night out, footsteps heavy like thunder, unsure like a child's fragile movement. Passing through earthly ruins, churches fallen and forsaken, bodies frozen within passages of time, the jagged teeth of alleys swallowing histories, a procession of crows on rooftops waiting, sensing our arrival, swooping down behind us in acrobatic wingtip feather tucks, symbolistic runes and wispy sprays of wind. And he talks to me, mad ravings of futures circling in on themselves, pasts that haven't happened yet. And the old man flicks gestures to beliefs long dead, righteousness no longer viable, prescient insanity foretelling doom in the sedated sparkle of eyes worn thin, moving, dragging Abe's body, filthy rags, bony frail legs, shuffling down roads less traveled, unadorned and atheistic, stepping to contemplate cemeteries with ghosts dancing and soft silent segue, graveyards with crazed woolen laughter, oblivion and snapshots of black and white. My feet synchronized to his step, him moving like he's forgotten the dance, fumbling, stumbling, always to the same destination, to a door framed in lunacy's cackle, a door with a sign that says, "All morality ends here." And this is where the dream gets really strange. This is where the old man turns to me, turns, head twisting, body immobile like an owl, like somebody who doesn't know what a spine cannon cannot do, his gray strings darkening to raven feather locks, his glazed, sedated eyes melting to furnace flames, frail body tightened to mused, youthful flesh, wrinkles to unblemished skin. And there he stands before me, now hip, cat, cool, his words a mixture of blues and jazz, surreal soliloquies, burning liquid, and this is what he says. "We are bastards in a world of flesh, and death knows your name." His gaze tears into me, jackhammer proud, then flicks forward, his steel grip peeling back cackled door, and I stumble through. And now the lights are red, blood bright, illuminating shifty, seedy salvo. Shelter of lust, and that's eyes glued to morphing mood, wall grinding wall, lewd, leering clowns, flesh on flesh, corner floor funneling entanglement of limbs and salivating, drooling mixtures of physicians, moans and groans dribbling off fevered tongues, and with a little twist of head, conflict confronts with shaking, sweating youths, eyes blazed, actors acting sweet rapture, injecting themselves with small silver streams of needles crawling across scabbed up vines of arms, while my tortured veins of side-covered closure escape from drug-dug yellow brick road, slow stopped by mad jazz deep the furnace flames, his feet flurry two-step into up-tempo blues choked by whiskey jigging brass blowers lacing shadows on chip's scuffed floor. And again, my feet follow, blind man's bluff, blurry-eyed flutes of slavehood, chips free in poker grins, chipping toes laying deuces in cigar-style stove of smoke, twisting through enmeshed, undulating flesh, straddling and sliding past sorrowful eyes, ghosts with fingers flicking futures up inflated elbow crooks. And here he is again, circling me, hoarding me to dust, death hall, liquid movement, calling card call, pry-wrenching, jacked-up maul, jaw unhinged and terror-loosening cotton teeth. And now the sound of his jaw out, fade to some other morning, waking dreams of ash, burnt-out fires and glory, and he hammers me. Pounds fresh nails to skinscape suffering, walls hooded to neck back flesh, and then smiles. The kind of smile you see in horrors, the kind of creeps forward in inches, hits with a brick fist. Then it happens, happening. Bones popping and contorting, sagging flesh puppeting itself into shrunken frame, our hollow eyes glowing winter white, soft, sane shift of summer. Limbs circling tiny spirals, now toddler touched, child cherished, and he exhales whispered intonations. "Sir, I know the way. Follow me. We'll find it together." Innocence floods fuel, filling battered, bruised tank, tiny feet clicking, wandering munchkin merry dance. And now I hear the flute flowing, melodious song, shadows gone, panpipe doorway fog, and we did arrive. I was there. Wide eyes, clouds, blue-strewn bright, warm waving sun, child of white winter sight holding trembling nerve-needled hand, fragile fingers, shows me morning mists in infancy, deep-sloping pastures tipping emerald green, tickling soles and soles of feet, and we fumble. Stumble in remembered steps, shape-shifting through dreams on a stardust wave, down, down. Hills melting valleys in the dirt-destined pass where he leads me, leaderless, now falling kneecap smacking stone ring of tire tinder, rejuvenation waiting in small flames licking triggers, and his finger pointing push-tough tongues of fire to face. We are at the birth of cages, choices, mazes, and this is where your road begins. And with this simple sifting truth, the child of mirrors and memories opens smooth palms and holds out the knowledge of fruit.
God, you have an amazing way of putting words together.
Thank you. I think it was watching The Fonz on most of my childhood.
Yeah.
This was all, his whole eloquence of going, hey, was just really amazing to influence.
Oh, that's
but,
too funny.
Yeah. Well, those are my two heroes. I had posters of The Fonz and Clint Eastwood.
There you go.
Okay,
in his cowboy, you know, poncho, hang 'em high, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Fistful of dollars.
I wrote a very short piece today called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. It's funny you mentioned that.
Yeah, those were my two heroes, man. But back in that, you know, I mean, Dirty Harry wasn't quite, you know, my thing. He was more when he was the cowboy with the little stub cigar going on and stuff like that.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. But anyway, thank you so much. This was a great releasing, especially the first poem. It was a great releasing of some energy I've been kind of holding and dealing with. Because in my family, I'm expected, I don't know, I guess, to be the kind of the strong one, the one that... does not fall apart, you know. It was awesome. I appreciate it.
Cool. Very cool. Well, we're glad we could be there for you.
Yeah. Well, anyway, beautiful blessings to you all. If anyone wants to add me on Facebook, I think I put that up there already. It's just search my name, JD Glasscock, or liquidbard@yahoo.com, or MySpace is just MySpace/JD Glasscock, all one word. But anyway, I wish you all beautiful, beautiful dreams, aspirations, rainbows doubling up on themselves, all that stuff, and wish positive energy to everyone that's out there. All right, and peace, and dream up front.
Thank you so much, poet. That was awesome.
That was.
Okay, Michael, we have about 6-7 callers on hold. Do you want to take our next call?
I do indeed. And that would be 503. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
All right, hang on, Gary. I'm finally on the call. Hi, this is David.
Hi, David. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's been a long night. Sorry about that. I'm meeting with a lawyer coming up soon, ran into a best friend, all in a coffee shop, all doing the same thing. Laptop, I got my poem open, got my homework open, I got my study notes open, and doing a whole bunch at once.
Tell them all the shush, the world stops for poetry.
Huh? Yes, the world, that's why I told him, you know, even while we were meeting, I had the phone on speaker, talking to him with that in the background, listening for that 503, and I'm like, as soon as it gets on, I'll just be a second. Well, anyway, I got a different kind of poem. It's like a song. I'm still working on it. I'm going to have – I don't think I'm going to be able to do it because I'm not as strong of a Scottish singer, but I'm having one of my friends do it. It's got very high Celtic background. But before I wanted to tell my poem, I wanted to let you know sort of an update on that poetry slam. We have a date and a time picked up. The date is April 4th. It's a Saturday, first Saturday of the month. And the time is going to start at 2, and hopefully it'll run to 5 if there's enough poets. If there's not enough poets, it'll dim down. If there's a lot of poets, it'll move up. I'm asking everybody to be registered by the first Friday in March. That way we can finally set together. We want to try to put, you know, poems that have similar content in the same type of thing, you know, so it'll be easier. That's the way we're trying to organize it. I talked to Silverton Poetry Group. They're going to see if they can get some really famous poets down, and so we're going to, you know, try to mix those in so that everybody gets heard by putting them, you know, in the beginning, middle, and end type of thing so people stick around and hear all the poetry. Because while it is to, you know, promote poetry and at the same time, you know, for causes or whatever, I also want to do this to get poems themselves out, if, you know, to give them opportunity to be of the crowd, and if this is something they want to do as a career, you know, have this as their first shot type of thing. And so, you know, that's
now
why...
This event is happening in Salem, Oregon, on the Capital City steps, correct? April 4th.
Yes, Yep, that's where it's going to be. And best way to get a hold of me is the email I'm asking everybody to send it to is patriotic_bards@yahoo.com. And it's for anybody who wants information, anybody, that's the email. I keep a lookout for poets there, but I also keep a lookout for anyone who wants more information. And that's where it's at to register for it. And, you know, it doesn't matter what the content is. Obviously, we do ask poets, you know, be a little careful with language. Because of, you know, I definitely do want some family and children there who really, you know, try to revitalize poetry into a pastime like it used to be. But, you know, other than that, there's no real, you know, editing on the actual type of cause that you're trying to promote. So.
Wonderful. Well, I'm excited to hear what you brought for us tonight.
Okay. It's called Believe, though, like I said, the name will change, but it's very... a very different type of poem. And here we go. I came upon a young lad sitting by a rocking tree. It caught my attention by the way he waited diligently. At first I thought he resting, just another casual sight. But then I noticed the intent and stopped to wonder why. I said, boy, why you looking at these like they be of gold? I said, there be a secret here that goes with untold. At first I thought my efforts wasted me, he not recognized. He couldn't take his off. Eyes off the sight, and I had to wonder why. Amazing nature's beauty, this child entertained beyond compare, for only a rock and tree treasured more than all my wealth to bear. And with just the basics we consider, nay, he loves, I see, not even in my time I could not possibly believe. What could this boy have my wealth could not ever to buy? This I had to stop, and this I wondered why. And then he spoke, dear sir, what do you see here, lying so beautiful and calm? For think first, the eyes you think are scanning as I am blind. It's not the vision I seek, but rather nature's love you don't understand. Yet you love for the people in nature fade, and this country moves a hand. How could a blind boor so poor, a pretty penny more than you? Why has society forgot the same ones, protect when their death was due? Abused and neglected, yet against all odds nature continue to provide. So even to her enemies, and love continues and wonder why. That tree, the warmth is always there for me and does not see my class. The silent and mother nature whisper, hold me with tears, fill the glass. The greatest lessons I can learn, those willing to listen. You truly the one blind, why I use my eyes in wondering. And with tears in my eyes I saw what I wishing for this the lad. How could I be blind and blind boy, the eyes that I do not have, the eyes he does not have. A small boy holding so little would no forget to complain. Nature has given a gift to mankind, forgotten, humble, and now I know why the same.
I think we did.
That really was different for you.
Yeah.
I'm working with an Irish singer. He's going to shape it up a little bit, but it was definitely supposed to be like an Irish folklore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely get that feel.
It definitely had that flavor.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah. I said the exact same thing.
Yeah, so it's a work in progress. That one I read more. It's not nearly done yet. It's totally different style. I want to try to expand my poetry, if nothing else, so it'll help me learn to write better. And so I'm going to be working with a guy, and he's going to be tearing it apart a little bit, helping me with, you know, getting the lyrics dead on. So, all right.
Can't wait to hear it when it's done.
Yeah.
So anyway, best way to get a hold of me, because I know you guys got a bunch of poets online, is either at that email, patriotic_bards@yahoo.com. If you want me to try to write something in particular, if nothing else, to sign up for that poetry slam. Also, another way is tob_rapper@yahoo.com. The other way, and that can be found at MySpace, the tob_rapper. That's my MySpace page. So.
Wonderful.
All right,
David. I look forward to seeing what you bring next week.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Oh, one of our young poets. I absolutely love listening to him read. Okay, Michael. We do have full phone lines. Would you like to bring our next poet?
I would indeed. I think I know what this is.
I knew you would.
318, you're on the air.
Oh, guess who? How are y'all? I'm so sorry I missed last week, but Hey, I had a chance to hear a Pulitzer Prize-winning poet with an Irish accent.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Never mind the Pulitzer Prize, the accent alone.
Yeah, he's from your neck of the woods, Q. Paul Muldoon. I think he teaches at Harvard.
Well, I'm jealous.
I just thoroughly enjoyed it, even though I had to sit on the floor with all the young people. That was kind of fun, too, because it was standing room only, and the Harlem Globetrotters were here, too, so that sounds really good. So that's his website, folks. But he was really great. I really enjoyed it, except he... Q, how do you pronounce coyote?
Coyote?
Okay, he was pronouncing it coyote. But maybe that's the Irish and the Boston mix.
I don't know. Maybe he was trying to sound like a Native American or something. One of those things.
Right. Well, you know, who knows? Okay. It might be French influence or something. I decided tonight for you guys to go back to an older one because I'm in a kind of silly mood. And I overheard a lady, you know how we poets get things in our head? And I overheard a lady talking about teaching a Sunday school class music and how she made big cookies and made a staff out of icing and put M&Ms and made them do five notes and do a song. And then she ended with, "Then we ate the music." And I couldn't leave that phrase long. So this is what came out of it. We ate the music, thinking it was no more. Instead, it digested, picking up chords, nuances, snagging buried, thought-forgotten soul movements. The music rolled, churned in the gastric juices of we, expanding, forcing itself outward in a melodic burp, leaving us and the music forever changed. We headed for dessert.
Okay, that was too short.
Okay, well, I've got another one. Since you were talking about endings, and it's also too short, but since I work with stories, and most of you know I'm a professional storyteller, and I thought about it, do stories ever really end? It's called endings. Do stories ever end? Happily ever after, and even riding off into the sunset, seems to beget beginnings. If not a sequel, a spinoff, a whatever happened to, or what if, do stories ever truly end?
Okay, no, that one was too short, too. I'm not used to that from you.
Actually, the majority of my poetry is really short. Just what I perform is kind of long.
You know, it's funny. I've been writing short a little bit lately, too.
Most of my stuff is really short, except for here lately I've been doing a few story poems, which I've done on here. But most of my stuff is really short, and for some of you that are familiar with my blog and my writing, it's, how should I say it, if you look at it and read it more than once, there's more than one meaning in there, but it looks simple on the surface. I know you know what I'm talking about, Q, because you've hit some of my shorts.
Yep.
Oh, God, that sounds interesting.
I wasn't going to touch that one. I was not going to say a word.
Oh, well,
what I was thinking.
Well, I'm waiting till later in the month to do one of my few love poems. Actually, I have one in my head that that time on Speakeasy you encouraged us to flirt in the chat, and actually a line from our flirting that I typed in has actually been playing in my head, so I might actually have a little halfway almost erotic poem maybe around the holidays.
I want to hear a poem called what did you say? Something Q checked out my shorts or something like that. I don't remember what the line was, but I want to hear a poem called that. I want you to write a poem for Michael about that.
Okay. All right, Q, you're on. Okay, well, I do have, I'm going to be doing a performance poetry workshop, love poetry. It's designed for family, so it's all age appropriate, but I'm teaching people how to perform either a poem they wrote or one by their favorite author. And then we're going to have a showcase on the 14th, which will be early in the afternoon so the grown-ups can do their thing. And we're also having a love poets night out on the 10th here in Shreveport. And I'm sorry, guys, some of you have begged me for video, but I cannot video and audio myself and perform at the same time. I'm sorry. It just doesn't work that way.
Yep.
I will I just, you know, there are people all over the world, I think, that have pictures of me storytelling at festivals and events, but they've never sent them to me like they promised. So get on those people. So I have more of my pictures instead of photos of me on my site, but I have more fun playing with it. And I'm looking forward to some more poets. And thank y'all for letting us have our poem fix on. Now I got to write that down. Q's looked at my shorts. Looked into my shorts or something like that.
Speaking of people looking at your shorts, why don't you tell everyone how to come visit your website?
Yes, www.myspace.com/BallardSpice. Q's already ahead of you. And I posted it earlier, but it's really important to me. I ran across this website a week or so ago for women in writing, and I'm going to put it back in the chat. It's got some great articles on writing, and it also has markets, folks. I'm sure men can stick their head in, but it is slanted toward women writers. But I'm sure any articles that I'm writing, hey, you might want to slant an article toward women readers. So I'm putting that in the chat, too. I like giving out references. Love you guys, and can't wait to hear the next poet. Talk to you later.
We'll see you next week, Joanne.
Oh, okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You stay out of her shorts.
Yeah.
Oh, I cause so much trouble.
You do. You really do.
I know. Why don't you get another poet on the air before I start rambling about something else?
All right. I can do that. 3, 2, 1, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
We can indeed.
We can?
That's great. Hey, for a minute I thought that, I was going to be too rude for the show, but then I heard about people standing outside your window with boom boxes and looking at other people's shorts. I'm thinking, great, I'll fit right in here.
You know, some days are just like this. What can I say?
No, I feel like MacArthur going back. I'm here. Thank you.
Introduce yourself, everybody.
Yeah, that's what I do best. I've been the hooligan of prose my entire life, and that's what I do best. And I'd like to thank the Todd Cavendish and the people at Will's on Mills in Orlando. The speakeasies every Tuesday nights from 8 o'clock on. And they signed me up, turned me on to your website, and that's why I'm calling.
Oh, awesome.
Well, thank
you. So you're a first-time caller, then.
I am. I'm a virgin.
Ooh, Michael, we have a virgin.
I know. I love him. I love him.
You just stop it there before you get yourself in trouble.
Yeah, I know.
You... Okay, dear. Tell us your name again.
I'm Cal, the hooligan of prose.
That's
okay.
An awesome handle, by the way.
Thank you very much. Publishers of such great books as Crackheads and Debutantes, Walking Wreck, and Tales of Moral Bankruptcy.
Awesome.
Those are awesome titles.
Thank you. You can see me on myspace.com/ hooligan of prose. I'm also everywhere and nowhere at once. I really don't have an agenda. I gotta get on that probably. So I guess now I should read, eh?
Yes, you should.
Okay, this is called DBN, Don't Be Nice. Please, don't be nice to me. I'm not like that. I'm hardwired to harsher things. Retarded and unguarded, all full up with dark shadows and nameless fears. So just be kind, but not too kind. Be cordial, but not flavorful. Be yourself, only not so much. What passes as random interaction for some could easily become deluded, self-defining moments to those that they're nice to. So please, don't be nice. I see you and I feel the urge to run. Sadly, though, I have a bad habit of taking me with me everywhere I go, so the problems remain. And even though I want to chart you like a coked-up photographer, read your body like an octopus learning braille, pick your brain like a locksmith on liquid meth, spend every waking moment with you like a terminal insomniac with ADHD, explore who you are like Amerigo Vespucci on speed dating, I won't get to, ever. Women like you are the reason poetry even exists, and you probably don't even realize it. And I'm not going to be the one to tell you. It's not you, it's me. It's always been me, so be nice. And don't be nice, okay?
Oh, I am so glad you found your way here.
Yeah.
Thanks. That was awesome.
Thank you very much.
All right, sweetheart. Tell everybody once again your MySpace page, your poetry site, so we can find more of you.
MySpace Hooligan of Prose, one word. And you can see me. I perform around. Right now, it's pretty much in the Orlando and Space Coast area at the moment. There are open mics everywhere, and find your way here. It's much cooler than the Treasure
Wonderful.
Coast, only we don't have any money. And thanks, you guys. I really appreciate what you guys are doing.
Well, see, here you can read poetry in your underwear and barefoot. You know, it doesn't matter. This is awesome. It's
really
a lot of
my
fun.
My webcam's on, isn't it? You guys are spying on me. That's it. Goodbye.
Oh, we'll see you next week, poet. That was awesome. Oh, cripes, Michael.
Yeah.
What are we doing tonight?
I don't know. Maybe getting a little bit of trouble here. I'm okay with that.
Okay, who do we have on the mic next?
Next, we have 401. You're on the air.
Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, we can.
We can.
Can you hear me well?
Very well, yes.
This is Cassandra Tribe. I'm using Skype to do this for the first time.
Wow.
Which means for once I'm on a microphone and not on a hands-free thing.
Oh, cool.
Oh, it's coming through very well.
Yeah.
Oh, good, because what this also means is I'm throwing what I was supposed to be reading out the window because I can be a little louder than I usually am.
Right.
So I don't think I don't think you've heard me do anything like that wasn't like kind of calm. And I'm still in Albuquerque, by the way, just to let people know. That's going to be changing soon.
Mm. Where are
anyway,
you going?
This is called. I'm actually going all over the country for a year, which is why I'm.
Oh, that's
right.
You're going on tour. You told us that.
Right, and it looks like I'm going to be leaving the end of March, so I'm slowly getting it together, but right now I'm, like, working two jobs, and it's just really freaky, but it's really, there's a lot going on this week that I just can't believe it. I don't want to talk about it yet because I don't want to jinx it,
right.
But it has to do with what I'm getting ready to do. Anyway. I always introduce this piece as this is because I tend to write a lot about love, that this is my bitter breakup piece, which I think all poets should have because it's just a really good thing. And this is called Compromise. Why is it that we live such secret lives? Dangerous images we have of ourselves that we hold in our minds. What if, why not live them instead of these frail dreams? Why do we live such secret lives? You're so different when we are alone and in the city you become unknown. Unknown and unknowing, a stranger to yourself. Why is it that you think being what you are not makes you better than what I am? My heart yearns for freedom, the food of loneliness, the drink of sorrow. This endless companionship, this busyness of minds distracts me from the truth and walls me behind details that are paper thin. At least I know when I move my arms and speak and think and dream. My thoughts and life are not governed by fear, maybe long ago, but I have grown since then. So why should I mantle your fears as my rules? And you just stand there. Frozen in your silence. Well, not silence, because silence requires thought. You just stand there in your emptiness, taking up space, a roadblock in life. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. these bits and pieces you take for trash are what makes me who I am. And I am good. And I am wise. And I would rather be alone than compromise.
Holy moly. Okay, I think I like you on Skype.
I got a really, really loud one I've been dying to read on your show. And I think I'm on the headset mic now. I'm talking to Skype now about what it takes to really perform, like what equipment I need. So once I get that figured out, I've got a doozy for you.
That's awesome.
You know, I am really excited that you are going to be going on tour and doing all the stuff that you're doing. It still blows me away when you hear, I mean, when you read, you're incredible when you read. You have perfect emotion and inflection and delivery when you read, and your poetry is amazing. And then, you know, I've got this beautiful vision of just this goddess-like creature, and then I find out you do construction work. And I'm thinking, this woman is amazing, you know? And I always wonder when people drive by and they see you doing work, you know, do they know this beautiful creature inside of you, you know, doing this rough job? It's amazing for me.
Oh, the thing that cracks me up so much is actually, I don't know if you've ever seen this one video that I did called Filemon. And I perform in Spanish, and I don't speak Spanish. And I'm supposed to have someone help me because there's like two different roles in it, a male and a female. And no one ever showed up, so I wound up getting a wig.
That's funny.
People like me don't know me very well think that I'm dating the other person in the video. They're like, oh, you have such a connection on camera. And it's just funny because I do. I appear so different when I'm more geared towards work that people don't suspect that there's another side of me. And the one character, Filemon, is a very feminine, very soft character. And people have commented that it's so bizarre to see me go from someone who looks just so tall and so big and so broad to this little frail creature. They're like, how did you do that? And I'm like, I've got no clue. But,
Well, I'm excited to see what you're going to bring next week that you're going to read with your headset so you can be loud.
So, okay, I got a question for you, and then I'll quickly get on.
Because
I know you can hear me fine, but I'm looking at chat, and they can barely hear us at all.
I think you were fine until after the piece. I think then maybe...
Okay.
That's when it started.
Okay, that's probably... I moved the microphone. That's probably why.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, I'm done.
All right, baby girl, tell everybody how to find you.
The easiest way is on MySpace at love_words_... No, that's not right.
Oh. I guess.
That, do you know what it is?
It's
the other you.
Word.
I'm getting off the phone now. Okay, have a good night.
You too, sweetheart.
I have to figure out how to hang up the phone, so you gotta hang me up.
Okay.
Oh,
okay.
There it is. I got it.
Oh, how fun.
Oh, that was awesome.
Okay, who do we have next?
All right, next we have 713. You're on the air.
Hey, how y'all doing? It's Soldier Blue.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Soldier Blue.
Hey, what's up, guys? Well, this last week I had my friends that, you know, regularly visit my blog, and they decided that they wanted to request me to recite a particular piece I just recently posted. So rather than what I would normally do with something cultural, this is kind of like more kind of a spirit piece. Anyways, it's called What It Means. Time rises from the earth, It is winter. Still, the glow of dreams warms me, as does the sun. It is a new year, and my day escapes the cloying dark. The sylvan moon over blue stars doth shine over me. A new beginning, possibilities of words, a promise risen from the ashes of dulling work to symphonic joys of creative soul. Dark earth holds me fast to push me up and grow. I walk the ghost road and arm in arm with the people unseen, they who have added more turquoise and silver thread to my hail marks and scars. Blue days, deep blue nights, they are my guiding lights, my family. They cover me with kisses and the makings of relief as they warm my sacred stones. Yea, with them I walk green carpets of watered plains and the softened, reddened canyons and the red earthen ways I have come to know. With a pocket full of beaded dreams and the songs they sing, I walk, as I always have, upon the velvet turns and vocal winds of the ghost road.
You take my breath away. You absolutely take my breath away.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I've just been doing some experimenting, and I usually try to work, a lot of times just because, of, you know, a lot of my work is, you know, more culturally based, you know, there's a lot of, dark shades to it, so I always try to lend, you know, some hope and some uplifting strength to it. So this is kind of like a different approach as far as, you know, coming from just a whole nother place.
It was absolutely beautiful.
I wanted to just kind of add into, Joanne was talking about earlier, you know, there's someone who was playing with or using the word coyote, and they were saying coyote. That's basically, mm-hmm. you know, the actual term, if you want to put it in total context, would be, you know, that's more of a Spanish word, and it would be pronounced coyote.
There you go.
So... Just a bit. So.
We are an educational show too.
Well, there you go. I try to help out when I can.
Oh, and you do.
Yeah.
All right, tell everybody how to come read more of your work, how to find you.
Sure. It's myspace.com, SoldierBlue3. And that'll get me. I'm there. So I will wish you all a good evening, and I appreciate the opportunity to get up and say a little something. And I will be back with you next week.
Excellent. Can't wait.
I'm going to hold my breath until you get here.
Hey.
Well, once I'm done talking on the show, that is.
Okay.
Okay. All right, sweetheart.
Evening.
We'll see you next week.
All right.
Bye.
Yeah.
Right. That's funny. Okay, who do we have next, Michael?
All right. Wait a minute. I got the twitchy switchboard. So next we have 210. You're on the air.
Hi. Hello. This is 210.
Yes.
Well, hello, 210.
Hi. Are you reading me loud and clearly?
007.
Almost 007. hi, well, thanks for having me on the show. I just thought I'd stop in real quick since I had an opportunity today. I thought I'd share some poetry with you guys in the tradition of the spirit of the show. I'm so long-winded. This is Michael. I'm calling from Texas.
Well, hello, Michael. Welcome.
Hi, I hope you guys are doing good tonight. I guess I'm going to go ahead and just jump into the poem here. I just want to share this poem with you guys that I wrote, and it's called Stateside. And it's actually a poem that's like, I guess I wrote it with a bit more of like an eye towards the rest of the world, or probably I guess you could say more like towards the country. But I mean, poetry lends itself to that sometimes. So anyways, I hope you don't mind. I'd like to share it with you all. It's called Stateside. Oh. Anyhow, so this is how the poem goes. Stateside. We've harvested the souls of dead creatures, harnessed the philosophies of dead thinkers, and have become pensive. Our collective knowledge has left us expectant, already brimming with what is known beneath the surface. We will cut you to the point. We must take the poll. We have no need to be direct or indirect. We only believe what we are shown. No need to decide whether or not it's true. Western philosophies, Western culture, legends of the past, all ingrained in these scandals to make history books like fiction. We're merely turning the pages of fresh discovery and finding new ways to make headlines, new ways to shut up even Shakespeare at his peak. He never saw this coming, and I wonder if we will, because we still have the ability to change things. This is no crackpot idealist chant to rally the nation to a historical pinnacle, no pretentious suit orating and gesticulating without regard for humanity. This is why we speculate, making art and business out of possible analysis as if the people really mattered. And in our textbooks, we'll tell you plainly in a language so ambiguous, the truth will seem right because it doesn't seem wrong. There's no need to be divided on this issue. Even our culture is based on what's popular, as the individual has been weeded out to an anonymous figment of our imagination, pure fiction on the television screen, an icon on our laptop, totally irresponsible, without conscience to exist. And that's it.
I love that piece.
Thank you. I guess I'd just like to say, I just want to say real quick, concerning the poem, like for me, like that's kind of why like I really enjoy poetry, and like I really enjoy hearing people read poetry, because like to me, like poetry is one of like the last honest and truthful art forms for like us to express ourselves. Because, I mean, you know, everything else is really literally so mass-produced, like, it's kind of hard to tell sometimes, you know, if you're being genuine or if you're just trying to turn a buck, you know what I mean? So, anyways, that's why I wrote the piece. That's why I wrote it, you know. That's kind of what I was thinking about. So, yeah.
I think Shakespeare would be proud.
Well, I hope he would. Thank you. I hope he would. No, I don't know. I don't even think I could even... I don't even think I would ever consider that to be anywhere in that field of I guess you know what I mean, I'm trying to say. I wouldn't even put myself in that class, you know what I mean? But
well, it wasn't written in Shakespeare form, but what I meant was that he would be proud of the message inside that poem. It was incredible. I seriously loved that poem.
Oh, awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, I hope he would like it too. Thank you. Yeah, so
tell everyone how to visit you before you kick off.
Oh, yeah, you can see me at MySpace. I have a personal website, but it'd be better if you went to it's VGPSA, myspace.com/VGPSA. I've hopped on here a few times before, but I don't really get to come out all that often, unfortunately. But thanks for letting me read me. Actually, I did have a question, if you don't mind, if I could ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I was wondering because I know that y'all play like pre-recorded poetry tracks and like poetry sets of music and stuff, but I don't know if it's because I just haven't looked around enough on the websites or not, but I haven't been able to find like an email address that could send that kind of thing to you, because I don't have a CD, like I have nothing professionally created, but I do have like some stuff I've recorded amateurly, and I would like to send that to you if you have. I haven't been able to find an email address or anything like that, though. Do you have one that is open?
You can send me, I will email it to you. If you send me a message on MySpace on the Speakeasy page, I will email it to you. But the address is really simple. It's the Speakeasy Cafe, all one word, the Speakeasy Cafe at yahoo.com.
Okay. Hello?
Yeah.
Yep.
I just said that for the library to play on the air, you can send them to that address.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, cool. Well, then I'll definitely do that.
Wonderful, right. Sweetheart. And make sure that you call back next week, please. I would love to hear some more from you.
I'll definitely try and do that. But I'll just say in advance, I have a really hectic work schedule. I mean, it's not so much hectic. It's just totally, like, not consistent. So I will definitely pop in when I get a chance because I do enjoy your show so much. And you guys turned me on to Blog Talk Radio and a lot of other writing websites out there. Maybe y'all don't realize, but a lot of people are getting turned on to poetry because of this show, and it's awesome. So thank you.
Aw, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, all now right, I'm
well,
feeling all fuzzy and...
That's awesome. Well, all right.
All warm and fuzzy.
I'll let you guys go because I want to hear what else y'all have cooking on the show for tonight. So thanks for letting me share.
Okay,
come
well,
on.
Keep the number. Oh, no problem. Keep the number for the show in your wallet, and when it's time for the show to be on, just sneak off to the bathroom. The acoustics in there are great.
You know what? I think I might try that sometime. Okay.
Well, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Have a good night, y'all. Bye.
Good night. Oh, that's too funny. Oh, that was a really nice thing to say. That was really,
yeah. Very cool.
Okay, group hug. All right. Poets, we have about 4 poets on hold right now. The number to call in is 646-595-3965. Our next caller is area code 602. If I can get it to unmute. Michael, you want to try that? Oh, where did he go? I got him. Okay, 602. 602, you're on the air.
Uh-oh.
602, are you there?
I'm sorry, can you put one person on before me?
All right, I'll come back and get you.
Okay.
All right, well, mute 602. That was Apollo. I know that voice. And my switchboard's being a little silly. Michael, you want to take the next call?
All right. The next one is 407. You're on the air.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, sunshine.
Hi. Yeah, you know what the last caller said is absolutely true. You guys are doing an awesome job for poets and poetry. And, you know, I know we all say that, but, you know, it's actually true. So that's cool.
You know, I needed to hear this. You know how you go, everything gets real hectic in your life and crazy sometimes. And all week long I'm thinking, you know, I mean, seriously, you know how life can be. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, gosh, like, can I keep doing the show? Am I going to keep doing the show? Do I want to turn it over to somebody else? Blah, blah. And then you guys have to come on and be nice. And it's like, I can't stop doing the show.
No, you can't, you know, because speaking of hectic, I mean, I could, like, I every once in a while, like, I'll tell you, you know, I could be on for, like, about an hour and a half telling you about my past 2 weeks. And, you know, it. But yet I do my level best to make time to come here because this is my vacation, this is my release, this is where I can just come, listen to poets, just to embrace myself with poetry in an otherwise unpoetic world, if you will.
Yes, indeed.
It is absolutely, I absolutely love doing this, and I love hearing the poets read. I don't even know if you guys understand the thrill it is for Michael and I to do this. It just, you know, when I never say something I don't mean. I never give out false compliments. I know that I get run short on adjectives sometimes, and I get a little bit repetitive, but you guys just are incredible, and it's a piece of my life that I don't know what I would do without. You know, even when things get crazy, I know that I could never stop doing this. It just, it is such a huge chunk of my happiness. So,
yeah. 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 Yeah Oh, yeah.
Scratching and spitting. Get this thing back on track.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, turn this thing around. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
The poem that I'm going to do tonight is kind of a, it was a piece, what I intended to be kind of a piece of another poem, but when you were discussing about doing a poem in the voice of an inanimate object, I kind of broke this piece off. It's not really in that voice, and it's not really a totally inanimate object, but it's an object. Okay, now that we're all confused.
No, I was really wondering if anyone was going to remember the assignment for last week. I was waiting. I wasn't going to say anything, you know, because I didn't want to make Michael feel bad because he didn't write the one about his boss's chair.
Well,
but,
yeah, but we,
you
know we didn't, he didn't want to touch his boss. We remembered that. Yeah. You know, well, I didn't, you know, I guess now I'm all the other kids in the class are going to hate me because I'm down at the teacher's pit, but that's okay. Anyway, because I did my homework and the dog didn't eat it, so that's okay because I don't even have a dog. Okay, well, anyway. All right. Well, this is called, actually, The Flight. Up and out over the trees and on to directly above. Hear sounds increasing, a staccato drum beat, mirroring thunder of the heart, as blades chop air. Then onward, at mission's journey, with belly like a womb, protectively bearing forth that which is so frailly fragile, near destruction and demise, so very close, that only beat and breath away from death. And sometimes not even breath, like molecule of life existence, but embered flicker remaining. So much in danger my little cargo is that God himself prays with.
You did so well. You get a gold star.
Oh, bless you. Okay, now I'm in trouble with the rest of the class.
You get a gold star. But now that you did your homework and I know you're an accountable student, now you get a new assignment.
Oh, no. See, that you can't do that, though, because you can't, you know, reward with, you know, more work.
Not more
but,
work,
yeah,
more
but
inspiration.
Okay, we'll go for that.
So sometime in the next couple weeks, you need to write a poem called If I Had a Dog.
If I had a dog? Okay.
Mm-hmm. you can shoot me for that one.
Oh, no. Do I get to do it as a country song again?
You can do it in any way you want to do it.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I used to have a dog. He was a smiler. You know how some dogs smile?
Yes.
He was one of those. Yeah.
Oh, how funny. All right.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
You haven't said your name. This is Rabbit Sage, everybody. Please, baby, tell everybody how to come visit your page, your work, get to know you better.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. www.myspace.com/RabbitSage1B1T. Rabbit Sage, all one word, smooshed together. That's me.
Go show her some love, everybody.
Yeah,
leave her dog comments on her page to inspire her.
Dog comments. Smiling dog comments.
Smiling dog comments. All right, sweetheart. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, and we will see you next week.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
You're welcome, honey. Bye-bye. All right, we currently have 5 poets on hold. The number to call in is 646-595-3965. And I am going to go ahead and bring Apollo back on and see if he's ready. Apollo, are you there?
Yes, I'm sorry. I called
the
before.
Next time you call in, pee before you call.
Right? No. I called in earlier, and then the phone call dropped twice, and then I called back, and while I was on hold, I went to order some food, and I put the phone in my pocket. And then, so I had an eyelid in my pants finally. And,
I can't believe you just said that.
And then it's a good thing I picked up the phone right in time because I heard you guys go hello, and I was like, oh, God, I'm online. It was so embarrassing.
Your pocket was on the air.
Yeah.
You're careful, you're an engaged man now.
I know that. I know.
Congratulations. Jazz accepted your proposal on New Year's Eve.
Well, I slipped her a $100 bill. That's why. Yeah, no, it...
I think she would have said yes anyway.
Yeah, everything worked out beautifully.
Excellent, man. Congratulations.
So what's going on with your tour? You want to tell us what's going on with your tour?
Yeah, I'm actually doing a little mini one right now in Arizona. I'm on the highway pulled over. And it's coming together. I linked up with this nonprofit organization called Humanity Healing, and they put together a team of volunteers. It's about like 6-7 people, and they're doing like a lot of the legwork with like, you know, doing the booking and doing sponsorship and grant writing. So I finally got like, you know, a team of people that is really going out there and helping out. So it's good. You know, it's not there yet, but it's getting there, and I'm definitely grateful for that. And it looks like
I'm
going to leave.
And...
Sorry, I was going to say it looks like I'm going to leave in April. You know, either the last week of April or the first week of May. And the first leg is going to go from Arizona to Florida, and then I'm going to be at the National Poetry Competition in Florida in the summertime. So. Yeah, just making it happen, and yeah.
Nice.
You got me in trouble in the chat room because I was in your pants.
Oops. Well, good, because I got a sex phone.
Oh, great. All right, sweetheart, the stage is yours.
Okay. this is kind of, it's not really dirty, I think it's beautiful, but anyway. Here we go. They say that two's a company and three's a crowd. I say the more the merrier, and I'm loving it loud. Standing on each other's shoulders, we can touch a cloud in and out until the inside of your mind is spilling out. Lips that are melting into these warm rainbows, the gift of being in these presence of these angels. Love that illuminates the vision of closed eyes. The love that separates the illusion of closed thighs. My soul was placed in this body to feel, so when I look deep inside, I know that it's real. I thought that I peaked, but I felt some new stuff. Fairy tales and movies have painted true love. It has no boundaries between a woman or a man. It's having sex with God by simply holding hands. It would be ignorant to run from words. It's Father Sky striking his thunder into Mother Earth. Turning her lake into geysers that explode. Her trees create the oxygen that's providing for his soul, allowing her volcano to become warm and wet, exploding from the hole, allowing everything to melt. I kiss her neck and you kiss her lips. This is how a feminine goddess should exist. And if time isn't an issue, then why stop? Why not? The bite marks in the right spot makes my eyes pop. There wasn't a beginning, so it's impossible to end this. A love that stemmed with the rose of our friendships. Infinity eights that connect all of our bodies. Breathing slowly, putting rhythm into our heartbeats. Chakras that are opening with tantric stimulation. You call it meditation, I call it mental masturbation. Allowing my thoughts to release from my mind, so my words have intercourse with the rhythm of the rhyme. I believe in eternity, so time is not a concern to me. The concern is this emergency, the urgency to reconnect. It's not about deeper sex, it's about remembering how to deeply feel your breath beneath your flesh. For this body is a costume that's conditioned with these thoughts. We can channel the type of love that will uplift all the hearts. The physical is minimal. I'm more into the spiritual. You can't put conditions on love and then call it unconditional. So without any control and without expectations, no hesitations, just oceanic penetrations. I burst through the clock and took it back to the beginning, and then the hands of time gave me a happy ending. Thank you.
Oh, my. You were in a mood when you wrote that one.
What's that?
You were in a mood when you wrote that one.
Oh, yeah. That was, and that was before I got engaged, for the record.
You know, I was right there with you until you said bite marks, and then my brain just turned to jelly. I don't remember what the rest of the poem was.
See, like, the weird part about that poem is, I mean, it was written, obviously, it was me and two other females, but it wasn't really, I can't really explain the situation, because it wasn't really, like, sexual, like, there wasn't actual intercourse happening. It was just, it was me and these two girls that I was friends with for a long time, and it was real spiritual, and it was just, we had this one night where it was just, like, beautiful, like, just massaging each other and just having, like, it was just really cool, and, yeah, it was like a piece of heaven, so that's where that poem came from. It was, and Jazz met those two girls, we're still friends, but it was just like a one-night, like, spiritual love-making meditation that had nothing to do with sex, so.
I don't even know what to say to that.
Yeah, I know it's against most social standards, but oh well. Sorry to all your religious
people. No, no, no.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I think people should do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, so, yeah, how are you, Nyla? How are you, Q?
You know, I went and saw Twilight last night.
Uh-huh.
Have you guys seen Twilight yet? That was like mind porn for me. That movie was awesome.
There's a song called Mind Sex by Dead Prez.
Oh, yeah, I get that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Nyla would really like that song. So everybody go Google it. You could YouTube it. The video is really cool. It's called Mind Sex on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, that's one they got.
Okay,
the
I will listen to it.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, and they got, like, in the video, they got, like, all, like, these, like, paint and, like, real, like, it's really artistically done. It's really cool.
Yep.
But other than that, though, the website is travelingpoet.com, so I'm still looking for sponsors. So if you have a lot of money, I am your friend, and please email me. But that's what it's about. Like, right now on the website, I updated it. So it's called the Sponsor a Poet Project, where you can see where your money goes. Like, if somebody, like, donates $5, that's, like, a meal for me when I'm starving on the road. If someone does $20, that's, like, a gas tank, or I can go from one city to another. So any type of help I could get would be really appreciated. After I get done with America, I am still planning. I'm actually in talks with an organization in Africa, so after America, I'm probably going to go either to Africa or Europe and just making it happen, trying.
That's awesome, dude.
Wonderful. Apollo, I'm really glad you got a chance to call in, because we haven't heard from you for so long. And speaking of YouTube, if you guys haven't seen Apollo's videos on YouTube, go in and check that out. Type in Apollo, and he pops up everywhere. And he has some amazing performances on there, so make sure you check those out as well. Check out his site. And, sweetie, give me a call. We love you. We're excited for everything that's going on for you, and tell Jazz that we love her as well. And I'm really, really happy that she accepted your proposal.
Aw, thank you. You put a smile on my face.
You're welcome.
Yeah, congratulations, man. So
thank you, brother.
To the Northeast.
Northeast, I think, is going to be at the maybe like either August, probably in August, and then. I'm going to round off the trip in Seattle and then California and all that. So, I have it up on the website, the route that I'm going to be driving. And you can, I'll have the dates up hopefully within a month. So.
Well, when you're in Seattle, I'll definitely be there.
Hell yeah.
Hmm?
I'll always, it might be a while, but I'll always call back and keep you guys updated when I'm on the road.
Better.
All right, sweetheart, we appreciate that.
No doubt. Enjoy your night. Much love to both of you.
Oh, thank you, Apollo.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye, hon. Oh, I'm so excited for this stuff going on with him.
Yeah, that's
okay,
really
cool. Michael.
Yeah.
We have more poets on hold. The number to call in, we have about 4 poets on hold. The number to call in, 646-595-3965, if you'd like to call in and share your poetry. Michael, would you like to bring us another poet?
I would indeed. And that would be 513. You're on the air.
Hi, everyone. This is Honey.
Well, hello.
Well, hello.
How are you all tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Absolutely wonderful.
Great, great. I have a little something for tonight. It's called Frozen Moment. Actually, I saw a mental picture of this, and I'm not going to tell you what the mental picture is. I'm going to let you see it through the painting of these words. Jean was her name, laying there on that bench, once a vibrant mother and wife. Her son and daughter both grown now, looking back on the days when fresh bacon was frying in the pan, packing husband's lunch, sending him out the door with a kiss. Junior and Sally got a hug as they ran off to the school bus. Now was time to start the day. In happy anticipation of her family's return, years went by. Time came to push the eaglets out of the nest, watching them appear to fall, to see them soar instead. Husband went to work one day, never to return, finding a sexier, younger woman. Jean's body now slowing down, mind not comprehending what's happening. Find it snapping, losing control, laying on the bench, a once cheerful soul, adding to a nation of brain surgeon and lawyer, husband's business a multi-million corporation, all because of the toil of Jean's love. Now laying on the hard, cold bench, body racked with cold and cough as the snow falls into another land. Jean slips. All that is left of her is a frozen moment.
Oh, my God, babe.
Nice.
Holy moly. I was told I had to stop saying holy shit, so holy moly.
Who told you that?
Wow, tell me what inspired that piece.
Actually, it was like I got to thinking about homeless people, and it's like I could see this vision of this woman wrapped up in this coat and all, laying on this bench as if she was asleep, and there was snow on the ground and snow falling around her, and it just got me to thinking about how, no disrespect to the men, because I'm sure I'll be coming out with a piece about them too and things they've been through, got me to thinking about in the nursing homes and how we just tend to throw the very people that have been there for us throughout our lives in different situations. Once they reach a certain stage, we feel like they're no good anymore, and we tend to throw them away.
Mm-hmm. So that's actually a serious problem we have in this country.
But yeah, it really is. That was an incredible, absolutely incredible poem.
Thank you.
Wow. See, that's one of the special gifts that we do, that we get, receive from doing this, is we never know who's going to be on the next line, and we never know what they're going to bring. And just treasures, absolute treasures. I got it. That was amazing, sweetheart. Tell everybody how to find some more from you.
Sure. Actually, I can be found at www.myspace.com/hangout4artist.
Everyone, make sure you go over and check her out. Sweetheart, please make sure that you call back next week, because I would love to hear some more of your poetry.
Thank you. I sure will.
You have such an amazing pen. Wow.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Thank you.
Great job.
Thank you all.
Oh, there's been some incredible reads tonight, Michael.
There has. There has indeed.
Dang. Okay. Number to call in, 646-595-3965. Who do we have next, Michael?
Next we have... Oh, wait. Yeah, there we go. 954, you're on the air.
What is going on?
Hello.
Check. Can y'all hear me?
We can.
We can.
Most deaf. If you didn't know, it's Wordsmith.
I did know. I recognized your voice.
Kind of got one of them things in my throat, I know. Sticks out. Wanted to share a piece. This is called Resurrected. And it goes like this. Oh, what is this? Here I have found in thee living Jesus, glory abounds. Oh, what is this? Grace that is given. What was once lifeless is now vibrantly living. Oh, what is this? A spirit and a soul, separate from flesh, breathing and whole. You are holy, God. This I now know. For in my beating heart, wonder you show. You are worthy, God, everlasting and present. I perish at the thought of your abandonment. I need you, God. Let your glory fill my life. Walk with me, God, and in this heart abide. Let me be worthy to see you in your day. Guide me, Father God, in all of my ways. Armor me, God. Protect me throughout days that may flood and summers that do drought. I hear you, God. Please then guide my hand. Deliver me, Father, from all that I ran. You know my heart all too well. You are the remedy that I need in every living cell. There you do dwell. Call out my name, and I will run to you. Save others from the shame that I was bound to. I love you, Father. And with these gifts you do give, I will use to sing for what was once dead now lives. Thank you.
Wow.
That was so spiritually powerful and strong, and your reading was incredible.
Thank you. It's not me, though. How's everybody doing?
We're doing great.
Awesome.
Maybe tell everybody how to find some more from you.
You can go on YouTube, actually, and just type in Jay Wordsmith and see some of the older stuff from, like, I did some things, like, I'm in South Florida. And I did a lot of things down here back when. And then I got saved. And I've given my life to Jesus Christ, like, totally and sincerely and completely. I'm active in a lot of volunteer work and everything now. I don't really actually get out in the poetry scene too much anymore. Cause I work full-time and I volunteer. And, you know, I just try to maintain that. And somehow try to have a social life, which really doesn't happen too much. But, it's cool, cool stuff, man. But if you go to YouTube and just J-A-Y, Wordsmith, there's some of my old stuff there. And I'm on MySpace. You can just pretty much Google that name and you'll find me. I'm pretty much the first stuff that pops up, last time I checked at least. But that's pretty much it. You know?
Oh, excellent.
Well, I'm really, really glad you called in and shared that piece with us.
Most definitely, most definitely. Y'all have a good night, and I will see you when I see you. Super cool.
All right, I will hope it too, man.
Okay, okay. Peace, man.
All right, we'll see you next week, hon.
Later.
Bye-bye. Wow. Okay. Who do we have next, Michael?
Next, we've got 484. You're on the air.
Hello?
484. Hello?
Yeah, hold on. The poem I'm doing is called Judgment Day. I close my eyes and I see the perfect society, and what I see I don't like. The grass is green and the sky is bright, and there's no discrimination because of your sexuality, race, or religion. What I see is God's vision, the calm before the storm, because minutes later it rained hellfire and brimstone. So I fall on my knees to praise my creator. He looked down upon me and said, son, I know you accept me as your savior, but every time you pray to me, you ask me for a favor. And never once have you said thank you. Seeing the light of a new day, and when things were going your way, and when things went wrong, I was to blame. And you never stopped to help a fellow man in need. Your soul's been corrupt by sex, money, and greed. I gave you the gift of leadership, strength, courage, and wisdom, and you never lived up to your true potential. Your soul is a virus that'll pollute my heavens, and though I love you, I have to send you to hell. That's it. That's it.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah, I did too. I absolutely loved that. Now, you've called in before, correct?
My cousin, he actually, he calls all the time, and he just kind of threw me on.
Well, I'm really glad that you made it here. Sweetheart, tell everybody how they can find some more for you.
Thanks.
Do you have a website where people can visit you at?
I got MySpace, but it's not like music MySpace. It's just a regular MySpace.
All right.
Okay. Well, if you get a chance, call in again, because I would really like to hear some more of your poetry.
Yeah.
Pretty cool, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much, sweetheart.
All right.
Shy poets. How cute. Oh, that was, I honestly like that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that
was
cool.
Oh, it has been an awesome night. We have an hour and 8 minutes left. We have our guest coming up, and we have an audio file we're hoping we can get to play here in just a little bit from a future guest. We still have poets on hold, so I want to make sure we have a chance to get them on as well before we go into our announcements and everything. Michael, would you like to see who we have hiding on the lines next?
I would indeed. That would be 727. You're on the air.
Hello, Nyla. Hello, Q. How are you guys tonight?
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
Hi. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Wonderful.
Angel, just to let everybody know, as if anybody doesn't know that lovely voice.
Aww,
exactly.
Well, yes, it's me. It's Angel. Angel Heart. And my show, Sunday. Yay.
Mm-hmm.
But I brought a piece. I know you have other poets on the line, and I did bring a piece that was, Gwen still says hi, by the way.
Oh,
He was on my show on Sunday, and he said, make sure that you tell Q hi for me, because he hasn't talked to you in a while. So,
yeah,
actually,
yeah.
He's a wonderful person.
Yeah, he is. A lot of good poets.
I'm going to pimp him out just a little tiny bit, because he featured this piece on 10K Poets this week, and I was shocked. I was absolutely like, wow, you liked it. Wow. So, yeah. I'm always at awe when somebody actually likes something that I write, so I'm like, oh,
yeah,
you really did. You know what I mean?
No. Yeah.
This is it. This is On a Clear Day, You Can See Forever. From the fifth floor, observation deck, Caribbean rhythms blend with tranquil breeze, syncopated with this ring of steel drum within the clear sky. You can see forever. I left my troubles on the cobblestone, watching the silver tip ripple wake, wash along the line of sailboats on their way out to nowhere. sailing beyond the marker. Sounds of laughter carry as I sip this mojito, carried to me by a man whose smile melted the first layer of ice, skin the perfect caramel hue, eyes that were warmer than the jalapeno slice that heated all the way down from the tip of my tongue. I was lost in the haze as my words covered this napkin aimlessly. Seabirds on gossamer wing carried my attention away, and he kept the drinks coming with a wink and a smile, looking over my shoulder as I continued to write this sun-soaked afternoon on the fifth floor. On this clear day, you could see forever. The sky of perfect blue, leaning over the rail, wishing I could soar with the birds, he pulled me back laughing and handed me a fresh pen. I wish I was Kate Winslet on the deck of Titanic, with the ocean breeze blowing another set, another take, another leading man to take my breath away. But I am an observer of the world, sitting back under this umbrella of circumstance, watching the world keep on spinning while the drum keeps beating time with syncopated rhyme. Leaning down over me, I felt his breath on my shoulder. Another minute gone. That I sat back and didn't say the words that filled my mind. His eyes, warm invitation, ready to sail away to a forgotten dream, where all that was left was warmth, sensual caress, a sea breeze upon sun-soaked skin. Watching bronze fingers move across guitar strings with innuendo of innocence forgotten, I was lost. In this moment, I was wrapped in its song. Sunset twinkle lights replace the glare upon wave, trinkle of stars and lights on sail masts coming back to shore. Laughter of a couple stepping out of a horse-drawn carriage, oblivious to my eyes and doors above. On this clear day, on this clear night, I could see forever. Alone on the fifth floor, watching it all, where the day go? My musings across napkin and paper placemat and waiter from Trinidad, now off shift, joining me, feeding me a creation he made in the kitchen just for me. For forever is here, clearly right now. Spicy seafood with dash of curry, not on the menu. Delicious intention, under a clear winter sky. That's that.
You know, when you read, I think I just could just fall in love with you.
Oh,
you,
Nyla.
You have the most amazing
that effect on me,
voice.
Too.
Yeah, yes, I'm going to be your poetry stalker.
Oh, I like that. I do like that.
You just, when you read, it like... Your voice, I mean, your words are incredible, the way you put your words together and the imagery that you create. And, I mean, that is all fantastic as it is, all on its own. I mean, the merit of your words are exceptional. But when you read them and the way that you read, it just envelopes you and pulls the reader inside you.
Do you hear reggae in the background of
that?
Do you hear reggae in the background of that? With a little...
Oh, probably a good thing because I'd be dancing.
I love dancing.
I don't. Do you have reggae in the background right now?
Oh yeah, I do actually. Not here right this second, but earlier, yes, I did. I love
awesome.
I love this place. This is a place that I wrote about a little bit, and it's one of my favorite haunts, and I think. We as poets all have favorite places to write, and this is one of mine, so had to bring it out a little bit. So.
Do you know where my favorite place to write is, or where I end up thinking the most? One's when I'm driving, because I can't multitask while I'm driving, or you're not, I mean, you have to drive. And so then my mind has time to relax and think. And then I end up balancing a notebook on my steering wheel while I'm driving down the freeway to work and writing while I'm driving.
Please don't have an accident.
In the shower. I know. The other place is in the shower. And I used to run around. I jumped out of the shower with the soap in my eyes, running around trying to find a pen, and I figured out a way to fix that. My shower has one of those walls in it. It's not tile. It's one of those solid pieces of whatever it is, laminate or whatever. If you get a graphite pencil, it writes on the wall in water.
I will be in the shower,
and I'll think of something, and I'll start writing on the walls. And then I have to go back later and, you know, copy down what I write and then wash down the wall. But, yeah, that's horrible.
Oh, wow. Nyla. Yeah, I absolutely know what you mean. I absolutely know what you mean because it does. The words just hit you. They just hit you right then, and you have to write them down. It's like a need.
Because it doesn't matter. You can say them exactly. You can say them over in your head 20 times, again and again while you're running around. But by the time you pick up that paper and pencil, they're gone. They're gone,
no.
And you can't. You know, I don't know if it's that way for everybody, but if I don't write them down when I think about them, they're just gone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I can't wait. I have to get it down. Although I've been getting better. I have been getting better.
All right, Angel, my sweet. You have a poetry open mic show where you do music and stuff like that. Would you like to tell us about that quickly?
Yes, actually, yes. I'm in the process of breaking my show up. I have a show on Sunday that I started. Actually, the very first show was New Year's Eve. It's called Angel Overload. It's on Sundays at 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'm talking right now with Rain about breaking that show up because I originally started it as having new music and new bands that are around the world. I mean, I'm finding bands everywhere that I want to put out and make sure that they get their music out because music to me, music and poetry are such a blend and a marriage that, you know, they inspire, they're everything to me. So I have that, and my open mic is the last hour of the show, and I always feature a poet. Please come out this weekend, y'all, because I'm having Son of Man. Son of Man is my guest this weekend.
He is incredible.
The following weekend, Q is my guest on February the 8th, and I'm very excited about. Oh, I've had poets just absolutely, yes, I'd love to be on your show. Yes, I'm just trying to get Nyla to come on my show, but she's busy on weekends. So that comes to me having to have a second spot in the week. And I was talking to Rain today, and we are thinking about me having a spot at 7 to 8 on Friday night. So we will be toying with that idea very soon. Yay.
That's awesome.
Yes, it is. So.
Well, you do wonderful on your show, and I really enjoy it when I get a chance to come over and listen, and I am just really, really proud of you, the growth that you've had as a poet, doing your radio show and everything just since I met you. I mean, you're just an amazing girl.
Thank you so very much. It's because of you and Q and a few others that have really supported me in the last year and said, okay, because I was a very self-conscious person, really. I didn't really put my – I like to promote other people. I was always promoting other people on my MySpace page. But as far as promoting my own work, not so much. You know, I was always really shocked if somebody actually read my stuff and liked it. So when people actually wanted me to read, I was like, wow, you really want to hear me read something? Wow.
Of course we do.
So thank you so much, Nyla. It's a lot because of you guys.
Oh, we love you, sweetheart, and we're really proud of you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And I can't wait for you guys to be... come to my show. Yay.
I know.
Bye,
I'm excited. You're having Michael on.
Yes.
That's very cool. I'm excited. Okay. Make sure you come back next week, sweetheart. Share something with us and update us on what's going on with you.
I will. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Baby. Bye-bye. Well, I actually adore her. I love her work. She's just a class act all the way around. Okay. who do we have next, Michael? Let's get the next poet on the air. Then we've got a, I know that you have a file that you're chomping at the bit to play. So let's get to that.
All right. Right now we have 513.
Okay.
You're on the air.
Hey, Q. Hey, Nyla. It's Rain.
Hey, Rain. How are you, man?
I'm
Hi,
doing
Rain.
Fine, brother. Hey, February 16th, don't miss it. Everybody be there. Great show, Q. You know, I just noticed that every time I call here, I'm always asking Q, hey, Q, when are you going to do that, you know, that show of yours and everything? I mean, like three nights in a row, I ask him. Now I remember. February 16th. be there. It's going to be awesome.
I hate to say that, but it's six.
How you both been?
We've been great, man.
Okay. I'm not going to take up a lot of time because I know you got things you got to do. This is a real shallow piece, and I dedicate it to both of you and to all the people in the chat room. And it's called To All the Poets. And it goes, here's to all the poets who sat with just a pen and labored into the night to find the poem's end. Minds with words that drift, looking for a place to fit. That perfect little word that seals the feel of it. Broken-hearted human beings who struggle to express the pain of how deep the hurt of loss is, that even words are penned in vain. To the writers whose lives are lost, whose only friends float deep within, simple words of gray and black color their lives from start to end. Here's to the countless writers in search of that immortal line that screams to all who read, I was someone, somewhere, sometime.
I love Rain, will you read those last couple of lines again?
Here's to the countless writers in search of that immortal line that screams to all who read, I was someone, somewhere, sometime.
All right, everybody, I have to ask you this. Is there any doubt in your mind why I absolutely love this poet? I told him at New Year's time that he was one of my greatest gifts of the year and that he was an absolute treasure of mine. Rain.
Oh, if you only really knew me, man, I'm a bum.
I love you for loving me.
But, you know, how can you not love someone who says something like that? You know.
You
so.
Are just amazing to me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I really appreciate it because I don't have such real high self-esteem. I kind of, you know what? I really kind of like people with a little low self-esteem, and I've always been like that. I don't know why. I mean, they seem to be more compassionate, I don't know, more insightful.
You know,
not the people that, you know, that are confident are bad. I mean, I love people with good confidence, too, but there's something about people with just a little low self-esteem. I got a lot. I love
you. I don't know if I would so much call it low self-esteem. I think that may be the wrong term because I don't see you that way at all. I just see you as a very humble and gracious man. And those are very admirable qualities. And you are, you know, you're very humble and loving and a very giving person. And,
that's
I know that I really appreciate the fact that. Go ahead.
That's because life has beaten me to a pulp.
But it has also given you so many gifts.
That makes you humble. Life can make you humble. You know.
Oh yeah.
That's
true. Sure, it sure can, especially when you think you got it all going for you. You know. But anyway, I'll let you go, and I love you, and I love all the people in the chat room, and I got to shoot out of the chat room and everything, but I'll see you next time, hopefully, and love you a lot.
Well, give us
see
your
you
website, honey, before you go.
You always do that to me, man, and I don't ever remember it.
I know.
It.
Hey. You okay, remembered Rain's. You remembered Q's date finally. So next time, maybe you know.
Yeah, I'll come more prepared. I know it's MySpace/ some number, and I'll write the number down. I forget what it is. So
okay.
I can't type. So I'm just saying goodbye to everybody in the chat room now, and I'll be talking to you later, real soon. And life is good. Okay. Take care.
I
love you. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Michael. This is the time of the show that I'm really excited about, and I know that you are as well. We have come to the part of our program where we are going to do our guest segment, and I'm going to let you take over. I'm going to mute myself on the mic so I don't, you know, like cough or something or but I know that you have a piece of hers you'd like to start the segment out with, and then you'll be bringing your guest on. So everyone, I want to thank you tonight for doing such an amazing show, for the incredible pieces of poetry that you shared for all of us. And on my closing words, I just want to remind all of you to lick life in the face and then write about how it tastes, and then come here and share it with us. So thank you all for being here tonight. I'm going to turn the mic over to Michael and his guest, and I'm going to sit back and enjoy the rest of the show. Michael?
All right. Thank you very much. And, yes, our guest, of course, is the one and only Daphne Gottlieb, and she will be coming on with us as soon as we play one piece, and that is what I'm going to play. Why don't we go with Waxing? All right. So this is Waxing by Daphne Gottlieb.
Waxing. One night, there's nothing interesting on television, and I've read every book in the house. Bored, I decide to replace the moon with my heart. It takes a bit of work to scrape the moon from its perch, to hoist my heart into its place, but once it's there in the sky throbbing, it's quite stunning. I'm pleased with myself, even if people only vaguely seem to notice a substitution. Over Manhattan, the sky becomes intriguingly burgundy instead of brown. Scientists begin their work mapping the sea of ventricula. A mound bounces on my heart's surface, yelling, "Good luck, Mr. Gorski." Two people in a small town lock eyes and lean close and get their first kiss from each other under my heart. An old Japanese woman is a little concerned that a rabbit in the moon is gone, but eventually she shrugs it off. Even bunnies sleep, and don't those things sticking up from the top sort of look like ears? They kind of look like ears. They might be ears. A lover in Los Angeles calls an ex-lover in Detroit. You know, once in a red moon, I wonder if we couldn't have worked it out. Is it too late? The tides pulse in and roar back in a bloodthirsty surge. Dogs lick their lips at my heart's juicy meat so far out of their grasp. A bunch of hot, drunk high school students in a cornfield hold their beer cans high and howl at my heart. Coaches advise, shoot the moon, kid. You gotta have heart. Cardiac patients take a drastic upturn. A man stands on the rail of the Golden Gate Bridge, staring at my heart, wondering, do I do it? Should I really do it? He looks at the bridge phone with a direct hotline connection. He looks at my heart. He looks at the emergency phone. He looks down at the black, black water. He looks at my heart. He takes a deep breath, and he lets it out. Slow.
Awesome. That's just awesome. All right, that was Waxing, and I'm going to go ahead and bring her in right now. Daphne?
Hi there.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Sorry for the little late getting you on here, but thank you so much for coming.
Absolutely. I'm glad that, you know, the way I got the date wrong was getting a date when the show wasn't on rather than this one when it was earlier this week.
There was a couple of tense moments there, but yeah, you're here,
And I'm very excited. These guys are getting sick of me saying how excited I am, I'm sure. yeah, why don't we get right into it? Because, you know, I know you you also can't, you have a time limit as well. So why don't we I tried to explain the concept behind kissing dead girls a little bit at the beginning, but I think it'd be much better coming from you.
Okay. Well, kissing dead girls is loosely collected around the idea of famous women, dead famous women, and in the position of someone who is dating them. So anyone from Mata Hari to Josephine Baker to Amelia Earhart and Marilyn Monroe, there are poems for. The thing is, what we know about these women at this point is a legend, is a myth, is their name. And so I'm trying to see if I can crack that myth at all, if their legend is so airtight that there's no room to sort of insert a false history, or if there's plenty of room to sort of play with that idea.
Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, I finished it the other day. It's amazing.
Thank you. Glad you enjoyed it.
I did very much. Now, what brought you, what started that project for you? Like, how did that come about?
Well, I think what happened was that I finished Final Girl, which is the book before it, and the Final Girl is the last girl who survives in a horror movie. And as the book ends, it's dealing with all these ideas of different myths of dead women, you know, talking about loss, really, because Final Girl, as a book, deals a lot with the idea of loss and grief. And so it took this turn towards the mythic, and I started thinking about it. And one morning I woke up at 5 in the morning, and out came the Marilyn Monroe piece. And I knew if there was that one piece, there had to be more. So I started writing into it. And that's sort of how it all started.
Wow. That's funny. That's the first one. You've released 5 books, more than that?
I have a total of 7 books out. One is a graphic novel and 2 are anthologies. So I have 4 books of poetry out.
All right, and those, just so everybody knows, they're all available through your website, right?
They are all available on Amazon, actually. I don't have them up on my website. Or any fine, powells.com, any fine independent bookstore near you also has them. There are, even the one that isn't in print is fairly easy to get.
Oh, okay, cool. All right. Let's rewind a little bit, because I'm curious about how you got into the whole performance poetry thing in the first place.
That's a really good question. What I can tell you is, I have performance roots stretching back a long time. When I was a teenager, I did a lot of musical theater. But more saliently, in San Francisco in the early 90s, there was a group called Sister Spit that ran an open mic, Cindy Anderson and Michelle T. And it was a very performative, very declarative sort of open mic, and especially, you know, for women. And I sort of got caught up in that and the excitement, and I started performing. I sort of had that feeling of walking in somewhere and not only feeling like I was at home, but wait, I do that. I know how to do that. You know, that sort of excitement and also recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I started slamming. I sort of unwittingly got brought into it. I was at the Lambda Literary Conference was in San Francisco some year back then, and I participated in the Queer Slam and had no idea what I was doing, but I read a poem off the page and was good enough somehow to get fed into the city semifinals, or the finals even, I'm not even sure. But I got eaten alive, needless to say, because I had no idea, you know, what this thing was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of hooked. I was like, okay, if I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail better. And proceeded to fail better for a number of years after that.
Now, were you always writing before you got into the performance part of it?
I'm a lifer. I wrote my first I had my first poem published when I was at the age of 8 in this library journal that they did for kids. I don't remember how exactly all that came about, but there it was. So I have a copy somewhere of this magazine that my 8-year-old self wrote. you know, about hippopotamuses or something. Very illustrious beginnings.
Hey, that small steps, no big deal. Wow, that's amazing. Now, before you started slamming, did you do the open mic thing? Was it always
you had to? Yeah, I'd been doing the open mics in the city sort of for a while at that point, and I started discovering San Francisco used to have a really strong open mic community, spoken word community. There were a lot more open mics in a lot more places, and we were sort of all nomadic. We went, you know, on Sunday night it had to be the Paradise, and on Tuesday night it had to be the Chameleon, and you know, and so it went.
Right, right.
It was a scene.
It's funny, but that kind of sounds like the Boston area now. It seems like this can't throw a stone in Cambridge without hitting an open mic. So now I wanted to ask you. Now you have certain poems are available on your site, and I noticed that the ones from your earlier books were shorter. And I was just wondering if there's a story behind that. It seems like as you progressed, your pieces got longer, generally speaking.
You know, I will agree. I will tell you, I've been writing recently the longest I've ever written. But I think that, and this is kind of unfair, I think the ones on my website are probably shorter just because I wanted them to be able to fit on a screen without someone scrolling down. So it's less a function of writing than the website giving a false impression.
There you go.
Unless I'm really wrong about this, but I don't think I am. I know that initially I did. I'm going to take that somewhat back. You know, initially I wrote a lot shorter. Most of my poems were under a page. And I have no way of accounting for why they're longer now. I think that I'm interested in exploring more ideas in one space or more tangents in one space, or, you know, maybe I can control that length better than I could at that point, you know.
Right, yeah. I know exactly what you mean there. Now you said, you brought up exploring ideas. Now, obviously, when you've got a couple of books out based on that follow certain themes, but you've always explored things that make a lot of people uncomfortable with your work.
Yeah, so I hear.
Yeah, you catch a lot of flack, don't you, for your work.
I actually don't catch very much flack. The worst of it recently is being called a narcissist, so I can live with that. But I actually get by pretty well. I don't think that, I mean, people are buying my books for their mothers, which is something I never thought I'd hear. So it can't be that tame. That said, you know, I've been asked places not to use the F word. I've been told that my work is inappropriate, usually, you know, in context with school visits or something like that.
Yeah.
Which it probably is. You know, I'm not going to argue anyone on that.
Yeah, some things really are inappropriate for kids, but
I don't think it's a great idea to read 10-year-olds about BDSM or incest. I just don't.
Yeah. Now, you know what? On that note, why don't we throw in a track?
Okay.
Because I know with the piece Heavy the Head, there's some controversy around that one. So do you want to talk about that before I play it, or do you want to?
Well, I think it's less controversy than watching, every time I read it, I watch audiences act like I sucker punch them, because I think I kind of do.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right, so we'll play it, and then we'll talk about what it's about and everything.
Okay.
All right, cool. Excellent. All right, so this is Heavy the Head, Daphne Gottlieb.
Heavy the Head. They want to take you away from me. They made you like this, and now they want to take away your Las Vegas showgirl. Take away your cowboy sweetheart songs. Take you all away from me. They will keep you from me. They will take you away. They treat you like a child, and they must stop it. They want to steal back the prize, the wonder of your pale starfish hands. They're going to snatch back your soda pop laugh. They don't know. They won't care. The tangerines you stuck down your shirt, laughing, telling me to touch you there, then running away, laughing as you threw yourself back into my arms. You sang your cowboy sweetheart song. I sang saying you, Johnny Angel, saying Johnny be good, saying you, when Johnny comes marching home, I always touched you just where you told me, you touched me anywhere you wanted, they don't know, won't care that you winked at me, you started this, you pulled up your skirt, Johnny Angel, you blew me kisses, I ate the tangerines from under your shirt, they don't know, won't care, the pout of your beauty queen mouth from the stage, they want to keep the rustle of your crinolines for themselves, want to stifle you and control you, and I want you to grow and breathe and blossom, they don't know what you've done pulling up your skirts to let me see, don't know all you've given me, what I've shared with you, and now they take it all away, your seashell ears, your baby soft skin, this is the way in your red turtleneck, the only way we'll be together, we're better than our laws, don't let them get between us, come love me, come marching home, John Bonet, no one will care that you're five when you're dead.
And it's understandable. People looking like they got sucker, like they got popped in the face. Which, you know what? I honestly kind of think that's part of the point behind poetry in a way, is to do that to people sometimes, if not often. What is your like general philosophy behind your work?
Oh boy, my general philosophy. You know, I'm interested in what our cultural privilege, what our culture privileges, what the sacred cows are, what these, you know, burning truths that we hold so highly are, and particularly, you know, some of the stories we tell ourselves about that. And so I like getting my fingers into the dike, as it were. I want to see how much I can get it to bend, how much I can get it to break, how much I can find a space to resist all these things that sort of insist that we keep in a certain order, that we believe certain things. And I think poetry has license to do that. I think poetry has the ability to let us see differently without being a screed. And by all this, I don't mean, you know, overtly political poems like, you know, the government is wrong, blah. You know, I think that there are, I think sometimes a little tiny screwdriver is as effective as a big sledgehammer.
Absolutely. I could not agree with you more on that one. Yeah, especially if it makes you think in the process.
That's a huge, huge, huge mission, and I look at a really small part of it, and particularly how, as around women's issues, quote unquote, I think, and queer things, I think is where my work mainly lives. But,
right. Well, you know, it's a banner we all carry as poets, and you know, everybody can play their part in it. Where is it that you see your work going? Like, are you gonna? Is there more themed books coming from you, or is it, you know, like, what's, do you have any kind of, like, do you have a plan at all, or, you know?
Well, things sort of evolve. You know, I don't set out usually to say I'm going to do a book and it's going to be about blah. Right now, you know, I started writing sideshow poems a while ago, and now it looks like that might be a good thing to hang the next book on. And I don't know if it will or not, but I'm sort of keeping that question mark open because I'm writing things from etiquette books and I'm writing things from the Marquis de Sade's work, and you know, I'm bouncing off a lot, and I'm writing things from, you know, quote unquote real life, things that are more autobiographic. So I'm seeing what their common points are, and sort of trying to build in sinew and tendons and all of that to shape a collection as I go forward, as I start. Because the nice thing about doing this is we're all true to our obsessions, you know. So I'm not going to come up. My poems will have a gravity and a center. If I just collect, you know, a bunch of them, there's going to be something that unites them. They're all my brain children, and there's going to be a common obsession through them.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's a good way to put it. I really like the way you put that. All right. have you ever? All right, I'm not sure about this. Are you constantly writing, or like do you ever go through stretches where you don't write a thing?
I don't write all the time. I mean, there's this. I am the person that you don't want to talk to about writerly hygiene and sitting down for 2 hours every day. And I write when I feel like it or when I'm inspired. And so I, by all rights, should not have as much work as I do. I think I'm probably just really efficient when I sit down or something. Yeah. But, you know, whenever a book comes out, I can't write for 6 months. I just have to forget it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had 2 books come out this year, so I've got a year where I don't have to think about writing, really, I guess. But I don't write all the time, and I think that's good. I think, you know,
mm-hmm.
in as much as I'm not getting paid a whole lot, in as much as it's probably not healthy for me to hang as much of my identity as I do on being a writer, it's probably good not to write now and then. Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah, no, I can hear. Yeah.
Also, I write when I'm happy or content, and if I'm not happy and content, there's not much room to write.
Really? See, I'm the opposite. If I'm, like, happy and content and everything's great, I have not one thing to write about.
So are you saying that you draw your content from your state of emotion?
A lot of it, yeah. I mean, that's actually been changing lately. I've been a little bit more... almost storytelling in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of weird. A lot of other people I know are like that, so they write when things are not going well. But yeah. So
you know, I have a theory that the stuff I write tends to be so dark that I can't afford it when I'm unhappy. That I have to be in an okay place to start working.
Right. Yeah, because you really do delve into some things that a lot of people, like we were talking about, don't like to face. So now you recently did a tour supporting your books. What was that like?
You know, it was great. It wasn't really a formal tour. I was lucky enough to be invited a bunch of places, so I got to bounce around. But I got to go to New York and Boston and Hampshire College in there. I got to go to Atlanta for the Queer Writers Festival. I was in South Carolina at USC Upstate, and I was in North Carolina at Chapel Hill because they had turned Final Girl into a stage show there.
Oh, wow. Excellent. And what was that like, watching that?
It was really exciting and really inspiring. I mean, I kind of feel like Final Girl is so much of a collage. There are so many other people's ideas and theories and all of it running through that book, that to see someone else pick up my book and sort of produce art from it again and make a collage of it is the most powerful tribute, you know, for me to the success of all this, but it feels good to hand it over and to let someone else run with it and create their own vision and still somehow indelibly be part of it. It's really profoundly moving. It's really exciting to have been taken into someone else's art.
Right. That sounds incredible. I can't even imagine. Did you have any feedback for them, or was it just you let them do their thing? And
yeah, no, they're on their own. I was only there as an audience member, and I did read a couple of poems beforehand.
So
it was a really nice contrast because I got to read the full pieces for the audience, and you know they're spliced in to the performance. So it was kind of a nice contrast between what I did and what they do. And the space between how they made it into a full performance.
All right. Yeah, that does sound amazing. Now a lot of the people who listen to the show, they're not necessarily able to always go out to open mics and you know they live far away or they just you know their life hasn't turned out that way,
mm-hmm.
which is why I got into it so late. But do you, and it's kind of a cheesy question, but do you have any advice for people who want to explore that part of it more? Because a lot of people...
Well, I think through what you're doing is a huge avenue.
Say that again? I'm sorry.
I think that what you're doing is a huge avenue for people who are isolated geographically.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that's our probably most of our listeners are people that have been, you know, chomping at the bit to get to an open mic, but can't drive 5 hours to get to one.
Right.
But yeah, but a lot of them, they kind of stop there, you know.
Right.
There's another step to take to get actually in front of people. You're an amazing performer. So yeah, there's that step that's really hard for a lot of people to take.
Well, it's a really hard step. It's terrifying. I mean, I still shake whenever I get up on stage, and I've sort of accepted it after 10 years. You know, it's not going to get any better. That's just what it is. It's part of my process in getting up on the stage. It doesn't mean I suck. It means I shake. And that's all it means. It means I'm going to get up, I'm going to shake for a couple minutes, then I'll stop shaking, and enough. But it's terrifying, and it's also really important, because it's not that often, you know, as anyone to get up and speak, you know, words from your heart to other people. I can't think of anything more powerful and terrifying, and create these things in breath for each other.
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I wonder how people do it, honestly. I mean, I don't know how I do it sometimes. I look at it and go, wow, I just read that in front of people. I don't know. We always try to be really encouraging here for people. We say that the only good excuse for missing a show is if you go to an in-person open mic. It's the only excuse we accept. Now you said earlier that your work focuses on queer issues and women's issues. Is there anything that's really pushed you to that? Like, what really pushed you to that part of it? Was it just, you know, what things that happened in your life, and that's just how you got there?
I'm kind of going to take a step back on that, because I the more I think about it, and I've been thinking about it since I said it, weirdly enough, the more I kind of disagree with it. I think I'm categorized as dealing with queer issues and women's issues, but so much of Kissing Dead Girls is about women, but not women's issues. It's about female characters, but not, you know, necessarily a feminist politics per se. Mm-hmm. I want to recant that. I think that being a queer woman inevitably is going to affect what I write, and it's inevitably going to, you know, my identity in some way or other is going to surface over a book length.
Right. Okay.
And, so, you know, my experience in the world is going to inform what I write about, so queer politics are going to surface too.
Right, naturally.
And you might see trans characters, which you do, you know, or there might be the statement in the front of the book is that all pronouns are essentially on a sliding scale, that you can make the characters whatever you want, gender-wise. And that's absolutely an outgrowth of, you know, being a member of the queer community.
Right, right. Well, yeah, there's certain things things about gender that a lot of people just never even consider exploring. And, but is that, how much of that do you think is, makes up your identity as a poet? I mean, it's more, you said something that you're recognized as that, as opposed to,
I think I'm recognized by that, but I think, you know, I think scary probably precedes that. I'm that scary, tall lady with black dreadlocks, you know. That's,
I gotta say, I love that look, by the way.
Thanks.
That is, it's like one of my favorite looks for a woman, but anyway. I remember, because I saw your feature at the Cantab, and
yep.
Yeah, it was, that was great. But
It was a lot of fun. I had a good time. Jamie's introduction always scares me.
yeah. And just to let people know, she's talking about Jamie Caroline, who's been on the show. He was with us last September. So, yeah, he's a great guy. Actually turned into become a friend of mine, so it's always good. All right, we still got you for a little bit of time. I know you you can't hang out too late. All right, we've got one more piece of yours, so I guess we'll save that. I had so many questions for you, and they're all kind of coming at me at once. I try to get up to as many as I can. But Chad Parento is in chat. He says, Jamie terrifies you with flattery, which is a great way to put it. with your work, now, have you ever felt like you had to pull back from what you really wanted to write because of the topics that you write about?
Absolutely.
Have you ever pulled
Absolutely.
Back? Yeah.
I have, and here's the situation. I've got a situation around that's happening right now with it, which is that sometimes you write things in anger about people in your life, and you're not even necessarily trying to work through something. But I've had traditionally really hard boundaries around never hurting anyone with my poetry, never using something from real life so closely to the truth that someone might recognize themselves in a poem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I've pulled back. That's when I have either made myself go through it again and really try and anonymize it more, or I've buried the poem in a drawer and said, okay, you know, thank you. You did your job. I'm still mad, but at least I got it out.
Right.
And right now, actually, I have a poem that I wrote that I love that is a very angry poem that would hurt the person who would think it was written about him if he heard it. And it's one of these things where it started about a conflict I was having, and I wrote from the conflict, but not about any particular situation. But even so, I don't know how clear that is. It's like if I had a breakup and I wrote a poem about all breakups, but it just happens that I wrote this poem right after my breakup.
Okay.
So, you know, so I'm trying to face, you know, if I can actually watch this poem of anything that might even be identifiable to someone, or if I can, you know, it's trying to figure out if I really need to scrap it completely. So that's a hard line that I have, not hurting other people, not victimizing them with writing. That seems really important to me.
Yeah, I've actually changed a couple of pieces along the way too, for that reason. Let me ask you about something else. I noticed in my own writing. When you started to do the slam and was doing speaking your work, did that change your writing at all?
Well, yeah. I tried to learn slam. I tried to speak slam. I tried to figure out or be able to work in the format that slam wanted me to work in, and I tried to write more palliative work, since no one's going to score you really high for, you know, sticking a shiv in their ribs. And unfortunately, like, it's what I do. And so ultimately, slam and I were kind of incompatible, because what I wanted to do and what the slam wanted to do were not in sync.
Yeah. That's funny. So it tried to change your writing, but eventually it did not.
I'm sure there are vestiges, though, here and there of the slam in it.
All right. Because, I've noticed my work, like we were talking about earlier, like writing longer, like I've started writing longer, but I've also started writing where I'm writing it in the way I'm going to speak it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm very conscious of that when I'm writing it now. And I don't feel like it's a negative thing, but it's definitely changed the way I write.
Have you played at all with any kind of voice recognition software?
No.
It's something that I've been playing with a little bit because I've got repetitive strain in my arms. And the funny thing is, the way you speak in your head is not the way we speak out loud. It's a different part of the brain. And so it's interesting because what you think you speak if you just sit in, is different than if you just actually sit in front of a computer speaking.
Interesting. Yeah. I've noticed there's been all kinds of pieces where I think it'll sound one way, and then I'll read it, and it'll be completely different. Like, it's not even, it's like I'm reading two different poems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, yeah, well, there you go. That would explain it. So what has influenced your writing the most, or who has?
Oh, boy. You know, almost none of my favorite writers are poets. Kathy Acker, phenomenal postmodernist pirate writer who's no longer with us, was a big influence on me. Robert Coover, the father of postmodernism, who is the chair of the MFA program at Brown, another huge, huge influence on me, although I'm not sure that you can see either of them, you know, in my work. Golly, Burroughs, William S. Burroughs, but not so much for content as for the cut-ups. And it's only recently that I'd call him an influence, but I'm not sure that he was. I think that now he makes my work make sense in relation, and he makes sense to me by virtue of what I've done, what I've learned through writing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, I see what you're saying.
I read a lot of theory. That definitely informs what I do. As far as poets, people I love, Harriet Mullen, I am crazy about. Jack Spicer, I've started reading recently, and I really like him. Golly, Robert Hayden, African-American writer writing in the 1960s, vastly, vastly underrated. It's just off the top of my head, really quickly. I'm probably missing, like, the most important people that I should be naming. Who I love, Linda Smuckler, who is no longer writing, but was a Butch Dyke writing really filthy things, so I really, really loved her. Dodie Bellamy, who does all sorts of cut-ups and sort of postmodernist splice work. They were all really influential on me, or after the fact, they are now currently an influence of some sort or another on me.
Right. So, okay, I'm going to ask him to clarify somewhat for me, and hopefully I'm not the only one, so this isn't a waste, but will you explain when you say cut-ups, what you mean?
Sure. It was a Dadaist invention that was later co-opted by William S. Burroughs and the Beat, in which you take a sheet of paper with writing on it and you cut it up and you rearrange it, and that gives you an entirely new piece of writing. Or you can take pages from two or more sources and cut them in together to each other, and you end up with a poem that's from whatever you put in.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. I'm not big on that, like the formal, the different, I don't even know how to put this, forms of writing, I guess, would be.
Yeah, you don't have to be.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's working out okay for me so far. and, you know, the thing is I really don't care, because it's all poetry to me. I don't care what else you want to call it. It's all a beautiful thing. We're down to like 10 minutes left, so I guess we should probably start to wrap this up because I know you have to go.
Okay. Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. I'd pick your brain all night if you'd let me. Thank you again. Really, I really do appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's wonderful to be here.
Oh, great, great. And let's see, we've got one piece left, like I said, and we're going to close out with Sentenced. which I really enjoy. Is there anything you want to say about it?
Gosh. I mean it about the no more poems about geese.
Nice. All right. All right. People will know what the hell you're talking about very shortly. yeah. But all right. Well, it is an absolute pleasure for me, and if it's been half as much fun for you as it has been for me, I think I'll be happy with the whole thing.
It has been a delight, and thank you for letting me be part of this wonderful, wonderful thing that you do. I'm very grateful.
All right. It was our pleasure. Hopefully, you can come back sometime. Maybe you can grace us with something on the open mic at some point. That would be great.
It could happen.
Great. Well, thank you again, and I'm going to take us out with Sentenced, and thank you. I know I've said 100 times, but thank you again.
Okay, bye.
All right. So, and let's get right into that. This is Sentenced by Daphne Gottlieb.
It has been done and done and done to death. Sick of the poems about suicide, sure, and nature's been done to death. Is there anything ever really to be said about geese? Ever? And please, please, no more poems about poems. The only thing worse than poems about poems are poems about love. I have committed my share. I've done my time. Love always loses. Inevitably, poems outlive the love. So maybe the answer is to stick with poems, but not poems about suicide or geese, and especially not about love. I admit, I have a record. In the past, there was a time when I committed love poems, but no more. I've paid my debt to society and come back rehabilitated. No more love poems. You came too late, lover. I'm sorry you took so long to come. But you're here just in time for global warming poems or Meeksell and Herrick poems, postmodern conundrum birdcage effervesce poems, re-reception poems, but no more love poems. There are no more the first time you looked at me poems. Never a walking down, not a do not pass, go, do not collect my lover's eyes, or even all my lover's eyes. Do not compare thee to a mission streetwalk, smarting a shoved shoulder into yours. Not a single Motown you to morning, not a singing in the shower, sweet morning sting of peppermint soap over our bodies. Never that first moment you looked at me, peeked back over your shoulder, leaning over your motorcycle, that look, smirk, that smile, wanted to fuck that smile right off your face, put it back, never, a poem, never, white briefs, not a tumbled damp poem of no use crying over damp, tumbled, dry, bright, white sheets, no use crying over spilled ink, now look what you've gone and done, it's committed to print. I guess you'll have to stay.
Excellent. And, yeah, that was Sentenced by Daphne Gottlieb. And thank you to Daphne again for joining us. And we should be bringing Nyla back in. We got a couple of announcements. And we're going to play another piece to take us out from a future guest. Are you there, Nyla?
I am. Is Daphne still with us?
Oh, she just hung up.
Aw. Well, that was an incredible interview. It was really nice for me to just to be able to sit back and listen to that. You did an awesome job. She was yeah. I love the last. I think the last piece, the one you just played, that was my absolute favorite from hers.
I like that one a lot.
Face.
Yeah.
Did I just say that out loud? I didn't say that in my big girl voice, did I?
Yeah, you did. You always do.
You know, I really need to work on that. Oh, all right. Let's get to announcements. I know you have a piece you would like to close the show with. I would love to thank everybody for being here tonight. It's been just a whirlwind of amazing poets on the air, and I'm really excited to see what next week brings. We have some fun things coming up over the next couple months to help inspire your poets to get your work out there in the world, to get it out of the notebooks. And actually get it in front of people who can publish it, do some submissions and all that. I want to bring some of that stuff to you and bring some guests that are going to help you work on that as well. I know that you have some announcements, Michael. Would you like to do those?
Sure. All right.
I was quiet too long. Now I'm sleepy.
all right. Yes, okay. Sunday, we have Reverse. with Deborah, our friend Debbie Kelly, and myself, the Classic Poetry Open Mic. It's a way for that we try to get people to explore some of the previous writers, the people that got us to where we are now, the reason, you know, the people that have inspired us along the way. It's a lot of fun, and that is on at 3 p.m. Eastern on Sunday afternoon, noon Pacific, and that is blogtalkradio.com/RE-VERSE. And that's a great time. And Sunday night, I myself will be on air. I believe we're open micing it that night as well. And Monday, I have American Soapbox. And actually, a little tie in there. The guest whose piece I'm playing, going to be taking us out with, is also going to be on American Soapbox. I'm going to have him on for like an hour. I'm just going to pick his brain. We're going to play some of his pieces. And that's going to be in March, and he is going to be with us in April. But before that, our next guest, just to get that out there, is going to be on February 19th, and that's going to be Emily Kagan Trenchard, who is a phenomenal writer, just incredible. She's a slam master over at for Lauder Arts in New York, and that's going to be a really great time, too. So we got a lot of stuff going on.
That is, she's the one that called in last week,
yes.
Red, correct?
Yes. Yes. She read
I'm really looking forward to her.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And I've talked to her. She's really looking forward to coming on, too, so that should be a lot of fun. We'll have some recordings from her, too, to lead into that, too. So we don't have them yet, but we will.
Cool. Well, shall you take us out with the piece from her? Or no, you've got, who are you closing with?
I'm going to close with someone named Brian Ellis, who is local here to Boston. I met him at the Cantab, and he's just an incredible poet. He really is. I'm really glad he's coming on here, and I'm really glad I'm going to get him on Soapbox, because I'm going to get him for an hour out of myself. And he's a really nice guy. He's been very supportive of me and my work and you know, at the Cantab and stuff. It's been...
We'll see how supportive he is if he buys one of your T-shirts.
funny. All right. Well, we got 3 minutes left. That's about the length of the piece. So I should just say thank you, everybody, for joining us. I had a great time. It was a great show. I had a lot of fun in the interview. I was nervous, but it was fun.
You did great.
Thank you, hon. And, you want to say goodnight to everybody?
I do. Poets, you made it amazing, as you always do. You take our breath away, and we will see you next week. Thank you.
All right, and this is a piece called Shopping Carts by Brian S. Ellis.
It started as a game of communist soccer. Communist soccer is when you and your friends stand around a shopping cart volleying the ball back and forth, eventually getting it in a basket. In communist soccer, when one person gets it in the basket, everyone does. We had the energy, we had the night, we had each other, we had a problem. We were way too good at this, so we did the most obvious thing. We stacked another shopping cart on top of the one we already had, but a hot minute later we were popping the ball in every other slap of the ankle. By the time we lifted that third cart into the air, we knew something unexpected was going on. Maybe even something magical. The shopping carts. They were begging for it. Begging for us to pull pyramids out of them, so we answered their prayers. The logistics are immediate and the mechanics came even quicker. We worked in pairs. Gathering the carts, lifting and attaching, deciding where the sculpture's going to go next. First the center is upright and then they spread outward, laying the carts on their side. The next layer rests with its front wheels hooked into the basket in the center. You wouldn't expect how many ways shopping carts can lock into one another. In the middle of an empty Stop and Shop parking lot on a weekday, it didn't take long for authority to come after us, and we ran, but not before we were given a thick... Hey! You think this is funny? Who's gonna take this down? Some lifetime dead-end job schlub just like me, whose morning routine will be abruptly interrupted by something he or she didn't know existed. Our work was not finished. At Star Market, we erected an overflowing swarm of metal and carriage. By the dumpsters of Family Dollar, we reconstructed the scattered bones of commercialism into a throne of modern antiquity. We flipped them upside down to the ones right side up. We forced wheels in the handles in the alley behind Toys R Us. We erected a ziggurat to the possibilities of shopping carts. It was what was inside of us. And like everything else, it came from the earth. We chiseled away all that was not shopping cart from the air. And the closer we drew the realm of the impossible, the larger it became. We wrote letters in the language of shopping cart, and they read... Wage slave, when you pulled this apart tomorrow, please do not let any weight gather in your shoulders. We wanted to put a little impossible in your life again. A little unexpected. A little I don't know what's around the corner. And we wanted to remind you of the necessity of magic. So when you pull apart these structures, sculptures, pyramids, remember that a pyramid has 5 points. 1, that aims towards God. And 4, that reach for something more important.